This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Just dial in toll free at 1-800-259-9231. That number is brought to you by SACL CAI. It's again, 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site completely free, so enjoy those on us. And the main feature actually allows you to control the content of the site. So head over there and everything you see in the main column of the main page, created by listeners like you. As you're surfing around the web, you find something that you think is pretty super that you want to share with other people, you just submit it as show prep to the website, and then others will vote as to whether they like or dislike your suggestion. The most liked, make it to the front page of the site, freetalklive.com. Tonight, in the studio, it's Ian with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
By the way, welcoming all week long our affiliate WXNT in Indianapolis, joining us special for their morning show. They're taking our night show and replaying it the next morning. So if you're listening in Indy, you can't call live, but you can call us while we are live at nighttime. So call after 7 o'clock.
How frustrating must it be to hear Free Talk Live for the first time and then not be able to call in and say, you people, I've never heard anything like this before.
Well, I guess it's frustrating to somebody who would have an inclination to call talk radio, Mark, but most people don't call talk radio.
Indeed.
So it's probably just hopefully a pleasant listening experience and something unusual and new for a lot of people. 800-259-9231 is the number you will need as we continue here. And by the way, we will be live on New Year's Eve, for those that were wondering. I've yet to have confirmation on New Year's Day. Still working on that one. Lots to discuss here tonight, including the madness that Mark is going to share about just exterminating people who are Muslims. It's something I definitely want to touch on here in a moment. We'll get to that. But first, let's go to the people's paradise, Venezuela. Ah, yes, the people's paradise where communism rules and they're doing it right over there. Venezuela, the wonderful place ruled by a man named Hugo Chavez, who now has more power than he has ever had in the past.
I think he's been given this level of power in the past. He'll get these little spurts of police stateness.
Oh, will he?
And then they go back to the normal level of intrusive socialism that they normally have.
Well, that's kind of refreshing, Mark. I didn't realize that the government could actually roll itself back and get back to a lower level of total control over everybody's lives. Usually it doesn't go that direction.
Yeah, I understand the where you're coming from, but it does happen.
Like they cranked
historical examples.
You're saying they cranked it to 11, but then nudged it back to 10.5 in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Maybe the system does work.
I don't know that means that the system works or anything, but it does mean that at times people get sick of government intrusion, and the politicians have to kind of bend that will.
So we'll tell you what old Chavez is up to here in a moment, and then we'll again shift over to the madness right here in our own so-called country. But first, to the phones and the fun. Let's talk first to Ken in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Sam, and Mark. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Ken?
Last night, I'm sure Mark didn't really intend it that way, but he sort of took a pot shot at agorism.
Oh, I kind of mean it.
Pardon me?
I kind of mean it, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know you kind of mean it, but it turned into a pot shot, and you probably didn't really mean it as strongly as you put it.
Okay.
What did he say?
The attitude was, we already have it. For example, look at private schools. They're essentially agorist schools.
Agorist meaning people doing things generally that are to supplant the government, but also I think you typically have to do it without government permission, and that's pretty rare when it comes to schools.
And that's part of the gist of it. Doing it in a way the government does not approve is a big part of it, for one. And so that's really the first thing that just jumps right into your mind. For example, trading gold without filling out all the right forms, just basically living your life as though the government just didn't exist. But my second major point about it was that the importance of agorism isn't necessarily that it's going to cause the government to go away. The importance of agorism, in my mind, is whenever you talk to anybody about a stateless society, they say, well, that can't happen. What would you do without the roads? What would you do without this? What would you do without that? Agorism offers the things that you would need when the government went away.
And it also, I think, helps build local communities. And so it's really about sort of getting these ideas out, getting them in practice, and letting people know that, you know, this is a working model, so that when the dollar does collapse, it's a smoother transition.
Right, and it cuts the legs out from under the false argument that, well, if the government didn't do this, it wouldn't happen.
Well,
because
you
provide these things.
I'd like to I'll rebut. And the reason that I was using public schools, I understand it's not the perfect agorist example, in that public schools follow the rules, they get licensure, that kind of thing. But what it does show is that a very small percentage of the population will invest beyond what the government steals from them to fund government schools. A small percentage of the population will invest in the most important thing in their life, their children.
Hey, I'm all with you. I'm with it. I'm for every form of liberty I can get.
So
my major point was that there's a purpose for agorism, and it includes being able to fight or being able to have these arguments that, you know, well, you couldn't do it this way. We are going to need, if we are ever going to have a stateless society, we're going to be able to need to demonstrate that all these services not only can be performed, but are already available.
So the problem I have with agorism is, because of its nature, it tends to be a small operations. Obviously, drug dealers are a deviant to this, but most of them aren't doing it for agorist purposes. But
most
they are operating. What's that?
Most drug dealers are pretty small operators.
Right,
only
I understand. But there are big cartels out there, and you can point to them. But those are the only examples you can give. However, I can give a free market solution to private roads. I mean, all in Southern California, there are private roads that work alongside with government roads. And people choose to use them because they operate better. You could never get an agorist road going because nobody has enough money to do it.
Well, I wouldn't say never.
Okay,
but,
great.
However,
the examples of agorism I've seen up to this point have been extraordinarily small dollar operations.
People making pizzas and stuff.
I will take on that assertion right there, actually, that you could never have an agorist road, because there are agorist roads. They're called drug tunnels.
They're what? Drug tunnels?
Drug tunnels.
Not exactly something where you could drive a car through.
I'm just trying to point out that the reductio ad absurdum doesn't always work.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Ken.
There's an example where it didn't work.
Right, I get what you're saying, Ken. I mean, I appreciate you calling in with that point, because I didn't take the time to mention it
last night to
critique Mark's bringing up the schools as an agorist example, because it's not technically agorist because they ask for permission. However, it's entirely valid to point out that people generally are not willing to spend over and above what they're already spending in taxes. So to that, with that in mind, my objection last night, and I'd like to hear what you have to say to this, is that it's not to say that people don't have enough money to build a road. There are plenty of people with capital out there, and building a road ain't expensive. It's only expensive when the government does it. The thing is, the people with money aren't willing to do it. Because they're not, like, for instance, they're not willing to start a competing fire department, because it already exists and people aren't likely to continue paying into the government system and at the same time hire the competing fire department. So for somebody that wants to make pizzas, it's not a problem. We've had that happen here in Keene, where they've started making pizzas and they've stopped.
But that's not an alternative to the government. It's just a business that isn't asking for permission.
I'm just telling you, that's one example of agorism I've seen, where somebody is doing business without asking permission. That's not a problem. They can do that. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort.
It's the low level of agorism. The high level of agorism is competing with the government. The low level is doing a business without asking permission.
That's all I'm telling you, is the kind of person with the capital to start a competing fire department, I don't see those people existing. I mean, maybe they do,
frankly,
and you can prove me wrong someday. I'll be happy to, support a private fire department. But
they exist, but
frankly,
they're, once again,
call,
only for rich people.
I didn't call to really support agorism in that way. My point was to try to keep the discussion open from the standpoint of the need for the answer to these ideas that...
call for that reason, because you said you want to see the businesses replace the government.
That's not exactly it.
It wasn't that what he said at the beginning of the phone call?
That's the gist I got, but...
So you don't support agorism, then?
No, I'm not calling to say that I expect the government to fall because of agorism, like communism or something.
No, the government will fall because people stop supporting it and stop believing in it. And I thank you for the call tonight, Ken. I appreciate hearing from you. When it comes to potential police abuse, the most important place to protect yourself is while driving. FreedomCam.net has a groundbreaking new product that gives you the best all-around protection. The GPS Black Box Dash Cam. This easy-to-use unit has video cameras recording all around and inside your vehicle. It also has a built-in microphone and GPS navigation, which records your driving route and speed. For traffic stops, accidents, and all other driving incidents, protect yourself with the ultimate witness at freedomcam.net. This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have there completely free. We've got the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send in their validated photo or video to show they are listeners of the program. You can go to shrine.freetalklive.com to see it. And if you're a lady listener, you can get details on how to become a Shriner at shrine.freetalklive.com.
So have you ever considered taking a case to court, but without an attorney? I mean, attorneys cost a lot of money. Well, you need some kind of education on how to do so, and there's an answer for you. It's called JurisDictionary.com. It was created by a 24-year case-winning attorney who wants to show people how to protect themselves from other members of his profession. It works for plaintiffs or defendants. It costs less than an hour with any good lawyer. It's so easy, the average eighth grader can go through the complete 4-CD course in a single weekend. You can get it at JurisDictionary.com. This is what you should have learned in civics class in public school, but this guy made it available to you at a very reasonable price. I paid for it myself. I think it's so important. JurisDictionary.com.
All right, so we continue here. Opened up the show with a call from Ken, who was calling about this idea of agorism. And
we didn't get a chance to really define that.
I did mention at the beginning of the call. It's where you essentially do business without permission, where you act like a free person, and instead of getting a license or a permit or a, you know, whatever government permission slip, whatever government essentially evidence of a bribe, that's really what most of the government permission slips are. It's just another way to say bribe. Instead of doing all that, you just do your business. You just offer your product or service to the marketplace. And I fully support these ideas. I mean, I like the I bought plenty of pot in my time.
Well, you know, I think that you're pointing out that there are two levels of agorism. Yeah. I pointed this out during the call. There's the level of agorism where you essentially go about doing a business without asking for licensure or any permission from
the
government.
That's the best way to do it, because then, you know, you're competing in the market with the other businesses.
Most businesses, a lot of businesses start out this way, and then when people come knocking, then they give the government their payoff money and off they go. Mm-hmm. Many businesses start out that way without really any licensure early on, and then, you know, at some point or another they've stacked all the licenses up. But the second idea of agorism, and the one that I think, you know, it's the big sales point of agorism, is that they're creating alternatives to the government's monopoly in certain areas.
To eventually replace the government.
And, you know, what I've seen of it is...
Which is a lovely idea.
I suppose, but it, you know, I don't see the marketplace doesn't embrace it. And I used public schools as an example that versus private schools, that private schools have been available for a very, very long time. People, this is the most important investment that people make in their lives or their children. They're willing to put hundreds of thousands of dollars behind their kids' education in college, but they'll send them to a public school.
You're right, and that's why what they're talking about doing is so challenging and so difficult and so unlikely that anybody's going to do it anytime soon. And the reason for that is because, well, first of all, somebody with a lot of money to invest in some sort of effort like this is not just going to do it on a whim. They're going to do it if they can make it back. That's what people who invest do. They want to invest in a good opportunity, not one that is futile and essentially, you know, some sort of an activism subsidy or a money pit, basically. And so until the zeitgeist changes, and maybe we're approaching that, maybe it's 5 years out, maybe it's 50, I don't know. But until the zeitgeist changes to get people out of this mindset of, well, the government has to do these things, or that I have to pay because I'm scared, then that's not going to change. Until people are willing to actually, because you can't charge most people above the tax rate. They're not willing to. I've already paid for the roads. I'm not going to pay for them again. I'm paying for them now with the taxes. And if I stop paying the taxes, they're going to come and take my house from me. So I think I'll keep paying for the government's crappy road service. Thank you very much. much. Until people are finally ready to be done with the idea of supporting the government through their taxes and through their obedience, then very few people, like 0.1%, are going to actually step up and buy whatever this Agorist service was, should it actually be offered. You have to get people to the point where they're willing to say, yeah, I like the idea of supporting a private fire company, and I would be willing to stop paying the, let's say, $300 a year of my taxes that goes to the government fire department and give that money instead to the local private fire department. Until people are willing to step away and say no to the current system, you're not going to have that agorist vision, I think, come to fruition.
I have to agree. I think, to me, what makes more sense is when you're looking at the taxes that generally when people pay on a local level, the taxes they pay the most are for schools. They're a huge portion of people's
far
taxes.
And above. Supermajority here.
And I think it's true even if you look at people's taxes, the average person's taxes in aggregate, all the taxes they pay, that you'll probably find that that the public schools are the largest amount of that. Well, most states have a provision in their constitution that says the public schools are, they're mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire doesn't have that, but they do have a Supreme Court ruling that says that they are. If that Supreme Court and Supreme Court rulings have been overruled in the past, if that Supreme Court ruling can be overruled, we've seen a lot of political progress here in the last, few months in New Hampshire as far as getting people who are interested in the ideas of liberty elected. If you can see a swing on the New Hampshire Supreme Court, then that the Claremont decision was what it's called. If that can be overturned, then what you're talking about is the opportunity to cut loose these huge bureaucracies that they call schools.
So you're saying
and
it
tell
requires
them that they can, look, we're going to give you tax funding for another 2 years, and then you're on your own. You're going to have to compete in the marketplace.
Maybe I don't understand the system too well. You're saying inside the government system, the government legislature has no ability to do anything about this. They can't just say, no, we're done with government schools.
They would be able to change the Constitution.
They would be able to.
The legislature has something to do with appointing. I believe it might be the executive. I don't know the setup of New Hampshire enough, but I believe that the general court, that's the House of Representatives, has something to do with appointing the Supreme Court justices. You have to stack
that deck. Unappointed.
Yes.
I mean, because normally it's a lifetime term kind of thing. Right?
They've fired them all multiple occasions in New Hampshire, so it certainly can be done.
I see.
But you could amend the Constitution to say that public schools are not mandatory.
Both of the things that we're talking about here are incredibly difficult tasks. I mean, working within the system
compete with the government on services like fire departments and road building. Talk about you've seen a lot more progress in New Hampshire over the last 4 or 5 years of the Free State Project in the area that I'm talking about, rather than competing with the government by building an agorist fire department.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'll believe it when I see it. I would be interested in possibly doing what I could to support a business like that, but I just don't expect to see it sometime. But either way, you're still talking about a very difficult plan. I mean, either take over legislature and or whatever. But it's not just to say it's working, Mark. That's not working. No one's doing that. What's working from your perspective is the political system has gotten some people elected. They haven't really done too much yet because they just got elected. So we'll wait and we'll see what happens with that. There's some good signs. There's some good early signs that are positive and worth talking about. But the idea that they're just going to be able to waltz right in there and overturn the teachers' union and
it isn't going to be in 2 years.
That's what I'm telling you. It's an incredibly difficult task. These people are going to fight and claw and hack their way to keep their jobs and do whatever they possibly can. It's the number one size bureaucracy, and they ain't going to go away quickly or easily or anything like that. More coming up. You can take control at 800-259-9231. MemoryDealers.com offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, Zempacs, and X2s, that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs, in stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery. MemoryDealers.com.
Dad,
This is Free Talk Live. We invite you to take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there free. And they include news updates. Get signed up. We'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. You can go to news.freetalklive.com to get on that list entirely free, or lists, I suppose. There's the email update list. You can also follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Do whatever works best for you to get the information into your hands, to your eyes. Go to news.freetalklive.com to get signed up. Hey, what if you found out that the best liberty activists from around the world were moving to the same place in order to achieve liberty in their lifetimes? Would you want to join them? Well, I did, and you can too. It's happening, and you can be part of it. Join the Free State Project at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. And ignore all rumors of the project's pending demise. It's not true. They had some trouble with the Liberty Forum, which was coming up in late February, I believe.
Right, and it's a managerial issue as far as putting the forum, the Liberty Forum together.
While the Free State Project's board may be bureaucratic and slow, like all boards that I've ever experienced are, the Free State Project itself is moving ahead just fine.
Right.
Over 900 people are here in New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Over 10,500 have pledged to move here as part of the Free State Project.
And the vast majority, the vast majority of people in the Free State Project have no idea who's on the board. And don't care.
I don't know.
They have nothing to do with it. That's not what the idea of the project is.
They cut me a check every month, or they cut us a check for Free Talk Live every single month. And I don't know who's. I know who the president is, but that's about it. So freestateproject.org, the website, get signed up. Learn about how you can come up here and get involved. There's so much to do and so much still that needs to be done. It's not utopia. It's not even close. But New Hampshire is a better place to start on this path to liberty than pretty much everywhere else in the whole world. So freestateproject.org. As we continue with your phone calls, Bill is in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Sam, and Mark.
Hey.
Hey, Bill.
Actually, it's Dale, but that's okay.
Oh, hey, Dale. Go ahead.
I love hearing about the freedom part of it, because I agree every day, one way or the other, the state tries to create a permission slip for one thing or another.
Sure.
And in Tennessee at this moment, they're trying the legislature, or at least it's the drug task force that wants them to require a prescription for Sudafed. And one of the stats that they showed on the news this evening was that in Tennessee, there were over 1,900 meth busts in the last year, but yet in Oregon, there were only 10, and they accredited it to, the fact that they have to have a prescription to get Sudafed there. I tend to look at it like, well, don't they also have medical marijuana there, so there aren't as many people running around trying to do meth?
It would make sense, that point. I don't know if anyone has done that study to prove that point, but certainly if drugs like cannabis were more available, we know for a fact that it'd be less likely that like kids, for instance, would start doing huffing paint or huffing Freon or huffing whatever it is they huff, gasoline, because they'd be able to get their hands on something that is more benign yet still exciting.
And the police, the drug warriors out there will hold up these backyard meth labs where they're dumping toxic chemicals into swimming pools and neighborhoods and just creating really a hazardous situation. But what they don't point out is that, if this were legal, it would be done in a lab. This stuff would be handled in a safe manner.
Sure. Creating gasoline is a hazardous and destructive process. We just have it done at refineries away from people's homes.
And by controlling and regulating the Sudafed, all they've done is pushed it across the border. And just like with any prohibition, just like with alcohol, you got more concentrated spirits and liquors and so forth because it's easier to transport. We've read stories on this show about a more purified form of crystal meth that's coming out of Mexico. And then those people are even more dangerous in carrying guns and just amping up the violence and the problems and things that arise out of it.
Unintended consequences. Hey,
that's right.
May the state die a slow but steady death.
Well, I hope it goes fast, but you're right. It's probably going to be slow, and I thank you for the call.
If it goes fast, then the problem is that there's not a lot in place to take up for it.
Isn't that what we were just talking about?
Right. Well, I'm What I'm saying is we have multi-tiered levels of government in the United States.
I don't care, Mark. Look at the Soviet Union. Look at other states that have crashed and burned. They managed to get out of it okay. So, okay, the government school's closed for 2 weeks while somebody puts together a market-based school to replace it. Because that's when the demand would be there. I mean, if the government goes away, there's your demand, agorist. Now, I guess it's not really agorism anymore if there's nobody out there saying, we need you to ask permission, give us your money. You know, if that's not happening, I guess you're not really an agorist. You're just a businessman at that point. But that's when your demand is really going to be there, when people are looking around and saying, oh, crap, what do we do now? That's when the innovators will step up. That's when the investors will step up, and they'll create, and they'll come up with opportunities for people. So I would be fine with it being fast. It may mean there will be a bit of a bump in the road, but I'd be much happier after that bump than having to go through 50 years of slow, grueling erasure of the state. And how many times has that happened?
That's the kind of thing that sticks people to the ceiling. What you, in fact, have to have is you have to have an orderly process where the government says,
where has that happened? Where has that happened ever? Where the government has just disappeared slowly over time?
Where have enough liberty-oriented individuals got into one place?
I don't know, Mark. The United States of America, back when they,
it was just a transition of power from the king to the aristocracy in America.
That's true, but that's not what the people likely believed, right?
Well, you can always lie to the people.
So I get what you're saying, Mark. I'll support it either way, but don't try to tell me that it's going to be worse if all of a sudden the federal government falls next week. Oh, I would be cheering
from
the rooftops.
But now you're talking about the federal government. There's still a state government, a municipal government, a county government, a homeowners association all in place.
Throw out forget about the federal government, and let's talk about the fall of the dollar. I mean, that's really the biggest bubble going right now, and that would take care of federal, state, county, local. All of them would have major, major struggles with a currency that's worth nothing, and they're likely to collapse under that scenario.
I think that the marketplace will I agree with you that is going to be the biggest the hurdle that Americans are going to have to face in a relatively near future is the collapse of the world reserve currency known as the dollar. The Federal Reserve note could very well occur in our lifetimes. And I think that that's something that needs to be pointed out. But, people, I think that currency, what I would like to see is a currency rise up, currencies rise up and compete in the marketplace without government backing. Yep. Meaning that if I want to buy something from Ian, I get him an ounce of silver or the promise to deliver a truckload of bananas or whatever it is that, is trading value for value rather than these greenbacks that are printed by the central bank of the United States and backed by absolutely nothing. So, that's what I'd like to see. And I think that they would spring up relatively quickly. People would say, well, I'll give you this for that, and then the barter would, in the age of the internet, the barter would coalesce and
evolve. Yeah.
People would be using metals relatively quickly.
I think you'd have third parties doing guarantees and handling the commodities or whatever it is of value that's backing the paper. Or I think in a lot of cases it would be electronic, because I would trust a private company. In the absence of government kind of scenario, I would trust a private company, because if you look at like the Liberty Dollar, it was the feds who came in and raided them and stole the money.
Otherwise, the Liberty Dollar was auditing itself on a monthly basis.
Yeah, and
look
at what the Fed's doing. No, you can't audit us. And then now that Ron Paul's coming in to head up that committee overseeing them, they've slowly started leaking out. Oh yeah, we've given billions of dollars to foreign banks. Oh yeah, we're doing all of these things and there's no accountability.
All right, so 800-259-9231. Speaking of no accountability, President Hugo Chavez has made his first use of new decree powers on Sunday to create a $2.3 billion fund for reconstruction after widespread flooding that left more than 130,000 people homeless. See, without the executive powers, he would not have been able to help those people with that $2.3 billion reconstruction fund. He needed this power. It was necessary.
Now, I remember him, he was trying to be named a dictator for a year, mm-hmm. and then he'd give his power back. Is that what this
is?
Yes,
that is what this is.
Oh, boy. Here
but
we go.
But he's helping the people. He is a man of the people. Well, let's find out more about this here in a moment. 800-2... Maybe he's not really in it for the people. 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control. More about Chavez in a moment. This is Free Talk Live.
This program is brought to you by FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. If you enjoy the program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become an amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We'll take that money in, reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations around the country, and bring more internet listeners on board, exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. Go to amp.freetalklive.com to get joined up, get on board, and get the perks like access to the amp-only call-in lines, the amp-only forum and podcast, and more. Get the details at amp.freetalklive.com, and you can use any major credit card or PayPal or some alternative options. Again, that's amp.freetalklive.com, and it makes a big difference for us.
Also, the call-in lines are sponsored by SACL CAI. SACL CAI is a company that will handle your company's accounts receivable. They, you know, whether you're a hospital or doctor's office or, you know, utility companies, banks, all these kind of things. SACL CAI can handle your collections, early out billing. They purchase charged off receivables. Their employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep your clients too. SACL CAI. You can see their banner at freetalklive.com. It's the top one on the right-hand side of the page.
All right. We are talking about Hugo? Is it Hugo?
Hugo.
Hugo Chavez.
You wouldn't pronounce the H, right?
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't. So he has got new powers. $2.3 billion fund he created to using his new powers to help. He's helping people. This is necessary. See, the government wasn't getting anything done, and then they gave this guy all this power, and now he's helping the people. He is a man of the people.
Is this like the last time he helped where the food prices were going up too much, so he took over and implemented government price controls, and then the supermarket shelves emptied overnight because, amazingly, the wholesalers aren't willing to sell at a loss?
Yeah, I'm kidding when I say that this guy is actually helping people. This is a sensible tactic for him, though, to make it appear as though he's doing something to assist, that he's doing something he would not have been able to do without these executive powers. That essentially he's been granted. The South American OPEC member nation's socialist leader has infuriated opposition parties and been criticized as a dictator for assuming fast-track powers for the next 18 months. It's a year and a half that'll enable him to rule by decree and bypass parliament. He is a complete dictator over Venezuela for the next 18 months. And we'll get into more as to exactly how this occurred, but the way the story is written in the very beginning makes you think, well, look at him. He's helping all these people. Is he really? Well, he created a $2.3 billion fund.
Imagine for a second if George Bush would have taken complete dictatorial powers when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast there, mm-hmm. and for 18 months.
It's pretty scary. But the question is, he's created this $2.3 billion fund for reconstruction. But there's nothing that says that's going to go and help the poor people. No, nothing there suggests that he's going to be doing anything other than, you know, reconstructing his buddy's mansions with that $2.3 billion. And besides all that,
he'll get some money thrown at the poor people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's very successful at using the lower classes as his backers.
He actually went and camped, pitched a tent with these folks, and camped out with them.
Yeah, well, they do mention how he kind of panders to them, mm-hmm. and we'll get to that here in a moment.
You know, if he spends 90% of the money that he gets, on trying to help the poor and just takes 10% for himself, hey, you know, doing pretty good.
The South American, Chavez, has justified the measure as necessary, which is, by the way, how they always justify it. Whenever you look at the government and whatever government we're talking about, and they make another power grab, that's always the justification. Well, it's necessary. Terrorists. It's necessary. We've got to look inside your home. We've got to put a camera in your bathroom. It's necessary. You could be hiding an immigrant in there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what unintended consequence you point out. It doesn't matter how much worse it makes some other aspect that they don't want to look at. Immediately, that's what they always fall back on. Well, it's necessary because that's the society that we live in, and it's really the one that they're forcing on us.
And so it has, as he says, it's enabled the government to respond to recent torrential rains that have swept away houses, smashed bridges and roads, and also killed around 40 people in a nation of 29 million. Apparently, the government couldn't respond to those things before.
40 people?
Total, yeah, 40 people. Without.
So this is smaller than the Hurricane Katrina incident.
Yeah. But critics say the president has cynically exploited the disaster as an excuse to outwit opposition parties who were due to take a larger share of seats, 40% of them, in the incoming National Assembly, which convenes on January 5th.
So this was a lame duck move, too.
Correct.
Just like what's going on with the Congress here in the United States, these people that have been kicked out of office have gone in and voted to give the guy in their party dictatorial powers. I swear, I don't understand why the American people, and I know the Venezuelan people put up with this. The fact is, a politician who's been fired from office should be taken as under an armed escort to his desk, allowed to empty the crap out into a cardboard box, and kicked summarily out of the Capitol building. The idea that there's a lame duck session is just insane to me.
Well, they put up with it because they've been told this is their system. This is how it works.
Well, it doesn't have to work like that. I mean, that would be a simple thing to take care of, wouldn't it?
They do nothing for the people, says Chavez, and they are trying to stop me for working for the people. He said of his critics as he announced the Reconstruction Fund, his first decree. Boy, I wonder what his next ones will be.
It's going to have something to do with his opponents, I can assure you.
Yeah. The Simon Bolivar Fund. Now, you say, Mark, he's done this before?
That's what I've heard.
I would love to know if that's actually the truth, because I find it hard to believe that any dictator is just going to, at the end of 18 months, all right, well, I'm done. I've done my business here, and I'll just give you this power back.
Well, that's like saying this president wouldn't leave office at the end of his term.
Yeah, but the president isn't a dictator. Like, he's not in total control. He might like to be, but he's not in total control. The fund, et cetera, et cetera. The first 500, blah, blah, blah. That's what the enabling law is for, he said of his controversial decree powers he was granted this month by the outgoing parliament, which is packed with his supporters. Where do those crazy people get the idea it's to install a dictatorship in Venezuela? They're crazy. How dare they suggest I am not a dictator. I'm just temporarily in charge for 18 months. Chavez, who has cast himself as the inheritor of Simon Bolivar's ideas in Venezuela, has spent Christmas visiting refugees from the floods and even hosting some at his Miraflores presidential palace in Caracas. So you're saying he camped out with them, Sam?
I think he's
taken them to his palace.
Yeah, I think I read another story that he was actually camping there among the tents for maybe only one night, but yeah.
Having only garnered half the popular vote for his ruling Socialist Party in September's legislative elections, Chavez knows he has a fight on his hands to win re-election at the 2012 presidential election. The opposition parties, who've united in a coalition movement, have called for protests against the decree powers in the new year. I bet he'll make a decree to crush the protesters. That's a possibility. And there has already been some violence at demonstrations led by students. Some analysts think the opposition will focus more effort on convincing voters that Chavez has become too radical than on launching a street campaign, that there are still fears of another bout of instability in the oil-exporting nation. In January and throughout 2011, Chavez's move to deepen and radicalize his revolution could lead to a political crisis and outbreaks of civil unrest on a similar scale to those that preceded the 2002 military coup that ousted him for 48 hours. So who knows where it's going to go from here, but this guy basically has total control right up through the 2012 presidential election. And what does that mean? What can he do? It sounds like he can do anything. And if he can do anything, then maybe he can just cancel the elections.
I wonder what has really changed, because a few years ago, he was actually, I believe he was responsible for kicking out the foreign oil, U.S. oil companies. And
nationalizing it. Yeah.
And then Venezuela, I've looked at a little CNN story here. In 2005, they were paying 12 cents a gallon for gasoline. And that's kind of the same thing that goes on here in the U.S. If you look around the rest of the world, people are paying $6, $7, $8 a gallon for gas, whereas here, because it's subsidized through the military-industrial complex, if that cost is not included, we're paying $3 to $4 a gallon, whereas there, you know, they're getting it for less than a quarter, I think, nowadays.
Right.
So that's going to make him very popular with the people. Mm. He's also spoken out against the U.S. He's one of the few countries out there that has criticized. I think he called George Bush the devil one time, and that, you know, made headlines. So he gained a lot of popular support. I'm wondering what's changed here to that seems to be eroding away.
Well, maybe people that are actually living there know better,
yeah,
right? I mean, maybe it's one thing for people that are on the outside of Venezuela to look at the news reports and say, oh, look, Chavez has created a $1 billion fund, $2.3 billion for relief, or Chavez has done this, or Chavez, look at all the people that like Chavez. But maybe if you're actually there, you know how much of a, you know, s-hole it is, mm-hmm. and you know how much of a jackball this guy is, and you know what the real story is, and maybe more people are spreading the real story there, just like a lot of people are spreading the ideas of freedom here in America now, more so than they ever have in the past. That's just my speculation.
Yeah,
we'd love to have yours. 800-259-9231. Maybe you've lived down in Venezuela for a little while, and maybe you lived there just, you know, like an expatriate, or perhaps you were there for business. 1-800-259-9231, and you want to share your thoughts, you're certainly welcome to do so. Hour number two is coming up. You can take control of the airwaves. Coming up, Muslims, Mark, there's a pretty radical proposal that's been put on the table. You're going to tell us about it. It's Free Talk Live.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program, and we invite you to take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free to bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231 is the number you'll need. That's 1-800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the features that you'll find there completely free. So do that. The main page actually has... Well, the content was created by listeners like you. In fact, if it weren't for our listeners, we would have nothing there, and our site would really suck. So if you want to, you can add to the site. You can participate in the site. You can add things to it, like a YouTube video or a news article or blog post, and then others will vote as to whether they like or dislike what you've added. And the most liked will make it to the front page of the site. So see it for yourself and get involved at freetalklive.com. So we go to the phones and the fun across the seas to Australia, where Jeremy is on the line. Listening at LRN.FM. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello. I just wanted to add to the discussion on agorism and alternatives to government, and specifically government currency. The new digital currency, nearly 2 years old now, called Bitcoins,
mm-hmm.
which is a fantastic alternative not only to the U.S. dollar for a lot of transactions, but also to PayPal.
Well, it's a neat idea. I don't know if it's yet a fantastic alternative, because a new currency has to gain acceptance. It has to have people that are willing to take it and willing to use it in their transactions.
If it's designed well, it's, you know, I mean,
it should. I mean, I think it's a good concept. Basically, as I understand it, it's a completely peer-to-peer currency, in that there are no central reserves anywhere of this particular currency. It's basically generated by its users, by people running software, and it's somehow checked and verified across the entire network. That way people can't scam it,
counterfeit it,
somehow. I don't know how. I'm not a programmer, so I can't audit it myself, but I believe it's open source to where people can go in and audit and check it. Am I right about all that so far, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's all correct, and I started to use it. You are able to use it in a few places and that. And, the biggest thing for me, and if anybody else, because I know you have listeners worldwide, anyone has needs like myself, which is transferring money overseas, it's a much better way to do that than PayPal because there's no fees at all. And
but
also
but you can't convert it back into dollars. I mean, it's
yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, it's quite easy to convert it back.
You can. How do you do that?
Well. There's a website called mountgox.com. That's M for Mary, T, G, O, X. There's lots of sites, but that's the one that I use, which that's where people buy Bitcoins and sell Bitcoins. So they've gone from being, it was about 6 cents per Bitcoin in August, and now it's 26 cents per Bitcoin now. So, I mean, it's already
increasing in value.
Quite a bit, 4 or 5 months.
My initial concern with the Bitcoin was, and I think it may have been addressed just by me thinking about it a little further, but my initial concern was that essentially it's a fiat currency because it's not backed by anything. It's just simply this electronic currency that's generated by the people that are using it, that are running the software. But on the other hand, it's also not controlled by a central authority, so maybe it's not fiat in that way. Maybe fiat isn't quite the right word for it. It's not arbitrarily increased by somebody who's in charge, although it was arbitrarily – there was an arbitrary limit set to the maximum number of Bitcoins, I think.
Yeah, which is 21 million, which it'll take another probably 20 years for that to happen. And basically, it's allowing – growth in the number of people to use it, so that at this point it's worth something because there's a small amount.
But what kind of ended up making sense to me on this, and certainly Sam is a kind of a monetary guru, at least for the people sitting in the room tonight. Yeah. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So you've got this software that generates slowly as you run this peer-to-peer software. You are essentially helping the network. You are creating a node on this network that it'll work without you. But if you're on the network, then you're adding to its strength. And so you are to an extent putting your computer to work for the creation of this currency, that for the, you know, the existence of the currency. And the Liberty Dollar had a model where the Liberty Dollar was a private currency, an alternative currency that the government was very upset about and went in and stole all their gold and silver. But they had a model wherein you could get the currency at a discount if you were an associate, and then you could take that currency and you could sell it at face value or whatever value you wanted to above your discounted rate to a business or you could just trade it at that rate, and you'd sort of make a little bit of money on that that transaction. And it makes sense. You want to incentivize people to get out there and use the currency. And so to that extent, it makes sense that this is generated by the users and that you get more of it over time simply for running the software as a way to incentivize you to run the software and a way to incentivize you to actually use the currency.
I see. Okay.
So it's not really fiat from that perspective.
The Congress was supposed to handle the printing and the what's the word for it, Mark?
The minting?
But they had another phrase for it. Basically,
weights
the
and
coining
measures?
of money.
Okay.
They were supposed to handle the printing and the creation of money, and they actually did this in early America. They created their own notes. I think FDR was working on something like that, where you sidestep the Federal Reserve, the government steps in and determines, okay, there should be $3 million in existence, and they had, you know, these greenback things that they created, and the government just created it. They weren't paying interest to anybody for this money, and that sort of worked. My one hesitation was, well, if you're the guy creating the money, then, or if you're the one who wrote the software, can you use the system to, abuse it and create more? And, you know, then you end up with the fiat problem. But, you know, it sounds like a workable model. I mean, if it's users running software that creates it over time and there's no way to defraud that, and it's pretty secure, then, you know, as it gains acceptance, I think the only thing that would really shut it down is the state stepping in.
And well, that's why it's peer-to-peer,
it
so
seems
it's
to
more
me
distributed.
That the interwebs is the area of the future. I don't know everything that goes on in the internet, but to me, this is an internet currency. And I'm very interested in it from that standpoint. As I know those kids, they're smart, and they're coming up with stuff on the internet, and it may not be Bitcoins, but it's going to be something like Bitcoins. Mm-hmm. From where I'm sitting, it's going to be like Bitcoins.
Well, we know decentralization is a good concept, and it certainly makes sense when it comes to having an alternative currency, because we know that the government doesn't like alternative currencies, especially the ones that are successful, because it does everything it can to crush them. Right now, the poor folks that were doing the Liberty Dollar, one of them sitting in a jail cell awaiting trial, and the others are awaiting trial as well outside of a jail cell. And these people have never harmed another person in their lives, but they harmed the legitimacy of the U.S. dollar, and so therefore the government went after them with full force.
What's the online virtual reality? Is that Second Life?
I presume it's still going. Yeah, and we haven't heard much about it recently.
Yeah, but they were doing the same thing where there was a currency within Second Life.
But they manipulated it.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, as I understand it, it wasn't a peer-to-peer thing at all. It was just we are the company. We have decided what one of these Second Life dollars is compared to a U.S. dollar, and we're in charge. Jeremy, you mentioned this website where people buy and sell the bitcoins. That's not run by the company, right? That's really a market in the actual bitcoins. Do we lose Jeremy? Jeremy in Australia? I think he is gone. Well, anyway, I believe I'm guessing that's going to be the case. In a movement where you've got a decentralized currency, it seems very unlikely that that there would be this one company run place to go to buy and sell these things.
Yeah, and that seems like the closest example to bitcoins. And I know the state went in there and tried to crack down on people using it to gamble online and things like that, saying, "Oh, this is against the law. We got to stop it." So.
So I support, the more we can have alternative currencies, the better. I like this. But again, it really has to become accepted. Right now, you can go to the Bitcoin website and there's, maybe 25 companies around the world that accept this for their service. Mostly like web design, web geeky stuff, which makes sense, right? Because
there's
how
some
it
gifty
started.
Stuff out there too. I've looked. I mean, I've looked at some sites that are selling it, and I think it's very interesting. It's obviously startup at this point, but
this is really like a proof of concept. And we were talking about agorism sort of setting the stage so that once the dollar bubble does pop, and probably the euro along with it, and a lot of these other fiat currencies around the world, this can stand up as a working model of, hey, here's how we can exchange things of value with each other.
More coming up here. You can take control and bring up what you want at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and this is Free Talk Live. We wouldn't be where we are without our amplifiers. Their $3 per month helps us spread Free Talk Live and gets them access to perks at amp.freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. Dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. Coming up, we'll tell you some disturbing news about what some people want to do to Muslims. 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the features there, like listening options, live streams. We've got them. You can get tuned in via our broadband or dial-up flavored streams. Plus, there's our webcam and the listen lines that actually allow you to call in from any phone that can dial long distance and listen that way. Around the clock, those listen lines and the live streams are available. And then there's also some other options, like our satellite channel that allows you to listen in for free. You don't have to pay a subscription fee or anything like that. Plus, our 85 wonderful radio stations from coast to coast that take the show at various different times of the day and night. In fact, again, welcome to all of our listeners in Indianapolis this week. WXNT running a special to sit in for their morning show, Guy Abdul, who's taking the week off, as kind of a teaser of what you're going to get more of coming up later on in the month of January. January 24th, Free Talk Live kicks off weeknights on WXNT.
We can announce that now?
I've been announcing it for the past few days.
Yeah, I don't pay much attention to what you say anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, Mark, because it was WXNT that was
huge.
One of the first. They were like the first big station to take Free Talk Live way back in 2005 when we had just gotten the ball rolling on being a syndicated show. And now they're really the first big station to take our weekday show live. And we've got some great stations in great markets for the weekday show, but a lot of them are taking us delay broadcast. And it's hard for you to get interactive with a show when they're not live.
It is Free Talk Live, Yeah.
So anyway, you can get involved over at freetalklive.com. There's a lot to do there.
Memory Dealers offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, XFPs, GBICs, Zenpacks, and X2s. They're all 100% compatible with all the major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off of list price. MemoryDealers.com can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. In stock, ready to ship, the overnight delivery. It's MemoryDealers.com.
Also, Memory Dealers brings you the webcam at cam.freetalklive.com, so don't miss that. We continue with your phone calls about what you want. Alex is in New Jersey on the Amp Lines. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. I heard you were talking about Bitcoin, and I wanted to bring up another possible digital alternative for a new currency. It's called a loom, and I've called in about this before, but I don't think I've done it on a weekday show. Basically, the loom is just an online system that enables people to transfer ownership of assets at will. An asset is any item of property that's considered valuable, but we're just digitizing them and putting them into a website that allows people to trade them. The cool thing about the loom is that anybody can create their own asset and hence their own currency. And with people being able to create their own currency backed by whatever they want, you have market forces that will take over and allow people to compete with each other as to which asset they would like to use for trading.
What keeps people honest in this situation? I mean, if I am I'm going to claim that I've got all these assets, how are you going to verify that?
Well, the sum of all the assets in the system is zero. What happens is it's truly fiat. Now, there's nothing wrong with fiat as long as there's competition. What you do is you spend assets into existence, and the more that you spend, the more art that exists, and you have a negative balance. And that
I am incredibly confused.
Yeah, God, you're probably smarter than we are, Alex. So, try it again.
Basically, it's just it allows people to create their own fiat currencies. Now, what keeps them honest is the fact that you have market forces pushing them to be honest, because nobody would use their worthless asset if they if it wasn't valuable or backed by something valuable.
Okay, let's get to a practical example, because this is still even confusing for me. So I have, let's say, 10 ounces of silver, and I want to convert that into looms. What's the process?
Well, what you can do is you can find someone who has an exchange business or what have you, and you can go to them and say, hi, I'd like to trade these 10 ounces of silver for however many units of your asset that's owned by the exchange company or group of people. They will then transfer that asset to your Loom account.
Without transferring the physical asset. So say I've got silver.
The silver, and they keep the silver.
Okay. So now they've got both the silver and their asset, and I've got nothing?
Nope. You give them 10 ounces of silver, and then they send you, let's say, 10 units of their digital currency. They now have negative 10 units of their currency, and you have positive 10 units of their currency.
I thought you said all the balances were negative. I guess that
was a zero.
Right, because 10 plus negative 10 is zero.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So I'm sending them the silver. They're sort of, it seems like though
they're giving you digital currency in return.
But hold on, it seems like they're in effect warehousing the silver and giving me this digital currency that should be backed by the silver, but they don't have any requirement to keep that. I mean, they could take my 10 ounces of silver and then go sell it, right?
They could. However, market forces and competition would prevent them or would highly discourage that type of behavior.
But if everybody is their own bank, then
nobody has
auditing.
To be their own bank, because people are going to gravitate towards those who have assets that are backed by something valuable, such as gold or silver. People are going to use that which is most effective.
I see what you're saying. So it's different sounding than what I originally understood from what you were saying. So not everybody will be their own bank, but you're saying they could be their own bank, and the ones that are the best at being the banks will achieve the customers, and the ones that are being audited or whatever and honest are going to be the ones that people want to do business with.
Yeah, and I guess you would expect that the I don't know, there would be some specialization, because if I send in 10 ounces of silver to somebody and they give me 100 looms, and somebody else sends them 10 chickens, are they going to give them looms? And then if I want to trade my looms back in, are they chickens or are they silver coins?
Well, each asset would be one product, so you would have a separate asset for chickens and a separate asset for
By asset, silver. You mean loom. Each loom would represent a physical product.
Yes, each asset.
So it's really
before we hit the break, I just want to give your listeners some a way that they can get more information on
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, how does one learn more about a loom?
If they go on Facebook and they type in pork loom, that's pork with a C, L-O-O-M, there's a group there with a couple members and a link to the website that explains how it all works.
Okay.
So it's basically a digital representation of whatever you want to send in to somebody to warehouse for you, and you are depending on the market to ensure that those people are going to warehouse it and somehow make sure those looms representing the physical product retain their value.
In a nutshell, yes.
Does this exist kind of like yet, Alex, or is it just in theory at this point? Like, the Bitcoins exist.
It exists. It's up and running right now. People can use it.
All right. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's worth looking into, I'd say. Cool. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. I would like to see some more real-life examples of, yeah, you know, how A interacts with B and C and so on and so forth. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. A pretty radical and sick proposal has been put on the table about how to deal with Muslims in a moment. We'll explain. It's Free Talk Live. You can listen to Free Talk Live on the radio via podcast, the webcam, and our live streams at freetalklive.com. Not enough options? Now you can listen to Free Talk Live from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone, 760-569-7752. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Free Talk Live listen lines are airing the latest episode of Free Talk Live 24 hours a day, including our live shows. Call 760-569-7752. That's 760-569-7752. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want by dialing in toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site totally free, so enjoy them, including our mobile site. You can go to m.freetalklive.com. You get quick access to our streams, the podcast, also software for your different mobile phones. You've got the BlackBerry. There's some software recommendations there. There's also Android and iPhone software suggestions. In fact, Winamp just came out with an Android version of their product, which is cool. There's one problem with it, though. You can't actually stop the streams. So they're still in beta. I think they need a little bit more work. But you can go and get the software. It's free. What do you want for free? At m.freetalklive.com. Actually, there's another great Android software called Zia Live, which is fantastic. I highly recommend that one. So m.freetalklive.com. Now, web hosting can be easy and affordable if you go through HostGator.
That's right. HostGator makes it easy for you to get your very own website, whether it's a .com or .anything. They've got unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, free site builder tools, 4,500 templates, one-click script installs, an easy-to-use control panel, a 99% uptime guarantee, 45-day money-back guarantee. All you have to do to get your first month completely free with HostGator is use the portal that we've created. It's hostgator.freetalklive.com, and you'll get your first month completely free. Whether you want a complete, whether you want a personal blog or complete e-commerce business website, it's hostgator.freetalklive.com.
So just an extra thought, since we're talking about web hosting there, and we just had Alex on a moment ago promoting a currency called the Loom, which is this strange decentralized currency that I'm still trying to grasp. I'm not going to try to even recap what it is. As we were discussing during the break, you need to have a 30-second elevator speech, and that was, you know, that was like a segment-long speech. But then again, we are talking about new ideas, right? So it might be easy to give a 30-second elevator speech for silver. It's not such a new idea. Something like a loom or you know, Bitcoin, these new currencies, decentralized, maybe a little more difficult to explain in a short kind of way, so I don't blame him for getting into the details. Plus, he's excited by it, and that kind of catches, you know, you, it kind of takes you away from maybe what you might otherwise focus on. But we actually, I actually followed his instructions during the break, his instructions as to how to learn more about his product.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. When you run a website and you're pointing people to it, make sure they don't see something weird when they try to go to it. In this case, the security exception error came up in my Firefox when I went through his steps. I went to look for Pork Loom at Facebook, and I got there, and then there's a link to loom.centromere.net, and I went to that, and that's when the security exception error comes up. And basically, that's a warning from your web browser saying, hey, careful, this website may not be who they claim to be.
He said that it was because he didn't pay hundreds of dollars for a certificate.
Certificates don't cost hundreds of dollars. I think it's more like $20.
Couldn't say.
I mean, we've got a certificate for our site, Mark, the Free Talk Live site, because when you have the secure website, when you're transferring information like credit card numbers,
it has to be a secure. It's all about the secure website.
Because
I have websites, and they don't, you know, they don't, nobody asks for me.
Yeah, whenever you look at the URL that you're going to, if there's an S at the end of the HTTP, yeah, that means it's secure.
Yes.
And every one of the secure sites should have a secure site. Is it secure socket layer? SSL?
I forget.
It's an SSL certificate,
yes,
and that essentially is issued by a third-party authority, like, say, GoDaddy, for instance, or HostGator, or I don't know if HostGator does that. I presume they do. They've got a lot of services there. But there are these third-party issuers that will issue these things and to the website, and then you put it up on your site, and your browser recognizes that, and it's confirmed. I don't know about the ins and outs of exactly the tech of how that works.
I think you have to have a dedicated IP address, so a more expensive hosting plan, mm-hmm, in order to get that, and that may be what he's talking about.
So yeah, it's that's going to scare a lot of people away. Probably going to scare 99% of the people away that may have been interested in learning about what Alex was talking
that's
about.
That's a big number.
I would expect it to be a significant amount of people, Mark.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a scary message.
Scares me.
When that message comes up on your web browser and you don't know, like, the issue, you don't know who Alex is. Like, I've met Alex. He lives in New Hampshire. He's a nice kid. And I'm not gonna, but I'm not gonna put a credit card number in if it's an unsecured website, right?
I know what you're saying.
So and nobody else is going to give up any. You shouldn't. If you go through, if you give it, because when this web browser error comes up, you can make an exception. It'll allow you in, but
yeah,
it's just warning you. Hey, careful.
It's like a condemned building warning. You can go in, but the floor might fall through on you.
Right. You may not be getting what you're
being
advertised.
He says it's not the SSL, it's the TLS.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
I'm not geeky enough to know that one. All I know is whatever it is, it doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And if you've got an error that's flashing up on somebody's screen before they come to your website, that's going to freak a lot of people out.
Yeah, I see that thing and it makes my sphincter clench. I'm sorry. I'm not going...
Yeah, so just a quick tip. If you ever want to call Free Talk Live and, you know, tell us about your new exciting thing that's going on and it involves plugging a website, because usually you get a plug, but if you want to do more than that, you got to buy advertising. But usually, you know, if some new exciting idea, all right, we'll let you plug your band, we'll let you plug your whatever. I mean, it's not Plugs R Us. If people just keep calling to plug things, I'm going to get tired of it and we're going to do something else. But yeah, if you're going to plug a website, make sure it works. Make sure it's going to let people in.
Well, he says it works and it's secure. It's just that it doesn't have the certificate that says that he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
That's what the certificate's about.
Just telling you, if you want people to go to your website.
I have to agree that people are, you know, the internet scares them a little bit in general, and they have to have a normal, you know, they have that comforted feeling. And when you get that little stop sign guy holding up the danger, black and yellow, you know, that's...
Tread softly.
Yeah.
So that's just a quick tip. You know, if you're going to promote something on the radio, make sure it's accessible. And I don't mean just a plug, especially if you're going to buy advertising. Make sure people can go to your website to understand what it is you're selling. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. So, Mark, what is this proposal, this scary proposal that is on the table? Who's proposing it regarding Muslims and what to do?
Well, this is from the Raw story, and it's talking about an event that they had that was put on by the International Counterterrorist Officers Association. It was in Las Vegas in the past October. And there's a counterterrorism consultant told a meeting of law enforcement officials that the way to combat militant Muslims is to kill them, including the children. This is what, according to a news report, his name is Walid Shobat, a self-described former PLO terrorist who now speaks out for USA and Israel. Well, that's sick. That's what he said there. Reportedly made the comment of a speech during a conference of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association in Las Vegas and in this past October. The comment highlights growing concerns among human rights advocates that the U.S. law enforcement is turning to extremists for training in the fight against terrorism. It also highlights concerns among senior counterterrorism officials that standards for counterterrorism training are inappropriate and possibly harming national security themselves.
So you've got – now, is the government involved in this, or is this just like a meeting of counterterrorism experts?
International Counterterrorism Officers Association.
Officers, okay, meaning they hold office in the government somewhere.
Well, yeah, they're, so, you know, cops, I guess.
You've got this government that a few years ago actually brought in former KGB agents to head up the organization of the Department of Homeland Security to get their advice as to how to do it. Now you've got – them turning to a former admitted terrorist to ask him, you know, what they should do about terrorism, and his suggestion is genocide.
And according to the an anonymous source at the meeting, Shabbat, that's the guy who said it, comments, got a warm reception from at least some of the people attending the conference. So this is the guy that says, to combat militant Muslims, you need to kill them, including the children. The source said he turned around after Shabbat's speech, asked a woman in the chair behind them at the conference what she thought about the solution offered by Shabbat. Kill them, including the children. You heard him, was the full response.
Mm. Oh, boy.
This reminds me of like the yes men who go to these corporate conferences. Like they went to Halliburton and created these survivor ball things that would supposedly protect them after Halliburton's destroyed the environment. And they just make it so completely absurd, but yet at every conference, they usually get people who walk up and want to know more.
It's so scary. We'll come back and talk more about it here and get your thoughts as well at 800-259-9231. Will violence solve the problem of violence? I don't think so. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Take control.
On Free Talk Live, we talk about investing in gold and silver as a hedge against inflation, investment, and barter currency. We've teamed up with Midas Resources to offer you some great rates on some hand-picked gold and silver pieces. U.S. Eagles, British Sovereigns, 20 Francs, Lakota Nation Silver Rounds, Montana Silver Reserves, and Walking Liberty Halves. Call 877-857-9938 or go to gold.freetalklive.com. The shipping is the same for one as it is for 20, so try to get as many as you can all at once. gold.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You are invited to take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free and bring up anything you want. 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features on the site totally free. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Hey, if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, shop with us. Amazon.freetalklive.com is where you can go to get your shopping done. They've got dozens of categories. You can even order used items if you'd like through Amazon. You know them, the world's largest internet superstore. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Just start your shopping through that link and Free Talk Live gets a cut of the sale. It's the same great Amazon, same great prices, free super saver shipping deals and all that stuff. It's just you're entering through our portal, so we get credit. Amazon.freetalklive.com.
How does a cruise to Bermuda sound? How about a cruise to Bermuda with Stefan Molyneux, Wes Bertrand of Complete Liberty, and me? This cruise isn't just a convention on the water. It's an unconference where the event's what you want to make of it. There'll be speeches and debates and things like that, but the boat has an ice skating rink, rock climbing wall, miniature golf, and much more. All your time will not be monopolized with boring speeches. We're going to just save the just for the good stuff. The ship leaves Bayonne, New Jersey in November 2011, but you need to reserve your berth now. The berths are as low as $535, double occupancy, but there's no guarantee on that rate. The rate, in fact, is likely to go up as the berths sell out. Also, they're going to have vendors on this trip, and if you are interested in being a vendor, there will be you can write it off just like being a vendor in a convention in the United States. At Bermuda and the United States have some kind of agreement. So if you want to be a vendor on this trip, they have that option. It's cruise.freetalklive.com to get more information. Do it today. cruise.freetalklive.com.
All right. So we're going to get to your phone calls here in a moment. Just want to continue to focus a little more on this just absolutely sick proposal. There is some kind of a meeting of counterterrorism experts. And I guess international counterterrorism so-called experts. And one of the guys was talking about what he believes is a viable solution to put a stop to the terrorism problem. Well, just you go after the radical Muslim extremists and you kill them and their children. That was pretty much the solution, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much what he said. The guy's name is, let me get here, just make sure I've got it, Waleed Shabbat. And he is supposedly, no one's really been able to, Shabbat, nobody's really ever been able to confirm his story that he is a former PLO terrorist, but that's what he claims.
Well,
and he says the way to deal with Muslim extremists is to kill them and their children.
I think it's a horrible idea. I think that violence does not solve problems. I think that violence only begets more violence. And if you actually listen to what the people are saying that would call themselves terrorists, not this guy, but the ones that are actually out there doing terrorism, a lot of them are pretty upset about the fact that the U.S. government has been meddling in the Middle East for decades and have been using violence against them and their families and their loved ones. And that's what spurs them into violence. So I guess he's kind of acknowledging that by saying, well, that's why you kill their children. But what about their friends? And what about their acquaintances?
Sure.
And their business partners and the people that know them and care about them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if this, obviously this is a radical statement, and I don't think that
the
government's going to condone it. But this was done at a convention of counter-terrorist officers.
This is the same government that takes people and tortures them and puts them into prisons without trial. I mean, there's no reason why they wouldn't look at this seriously as an option. We're almost there, Mark.
Well, you know, whatever. The fact is, this guy's getting a hearing at their convention. They're not bringing in the guys from WikiLeaks to talk to them about peacefully solving their problems. They're bringing in this crackpot that claims to be a former PLO terrorist. And, oh, my goodness, some of the other stuff he says is just absolutely off the wall.
And he's giving them what they want. They want to hear
Shabbat
this.
Is a pseudo-expert on terrorism, Islamic extremism, biblical prophecy, and teaches that Obama is a secret Muslim and that the Bible has prophesied a Muslim antichrist. A lengthy investigation of the U.S.'s intelligence apparatus earlier this month, the Washington Post reported that in their desire to learn more about terrorism, many police departments are hiring their own trainers. Some are self-described experts whose extremist views are considered inaccurate and harmful by the FBI and others in the intelligence community.
I mean, these cops think that people are terrorists if they pull out a video camera. The government people are so extreme in how they treat people these days. It's not. I don't feel like it's very far off from this being a realistic possibility for them to institute.
There's a really great documentary that will give you a lot of insight and perspective on this whole terrorism around the world. And it's Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden by Morgan Spurlock. He went around
Supersize Me guy,
Supersize Me guy, yeah. This time he went around looking for Osama Bin Laden. He started in Egypt. He went to Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, he was talking to some of the local villagers. He was with the military. And he talked to him about, you know, how do you like it? What do you think about the terrorists? And the guys in the village are sitting there saying, look, we don't really care about the terrorists. Osama is just one man. I mean, and this was common in Egypt. This was common in Pakistan. He went to all these places. They're saying Osama bin Laden is just one man. And it really doesn't impact our lives. But these villagers used to have water as much as they wanted. But ever since this military base went in and started draining the water from the
aquifer.
The ground table from the aquifer, they can't get enough water to survive, and that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest problem that they have.
Drinking.
So
potable water is a huge issue around the world. I mean, it's a huge number, larger than 50% of the population of the world has to worry about potable and plentiful water.
Yeah, they've got
to
go and bring it from somewhere. Right?
I mean, you know, things that we don't look at in our lives here in the United States are in very important issues around the world.
Right.
I think that's available on Hulu for free. I believe that's where I watched
it. What was it? So, Where in the World is Osama bin Laden?
Osama bin Laden, and Morgan Spurlock is the filmmaker.
Neat. So in comments at the Huffington Post, Michael Ricker, the head of the International Conference on Counterterrorism Officers Association, which sponsored the Las Vegas conference where this Shabbat fella was talking.
Nutcase.
He defended Shabbat, saying, "What you hear from Waleed is the truth." Speaking about the Las Vegas conference, Ricker said the attendees were glued to what Waleed had said, and the majority of them agreed. The liberal media is afraid to hear what the truth really is. Who has been planning?
The truth is, we need more killing.
Who has been planning attacks on our country? We are at war a war with an ideology, and if you don't know what you need to get your head out of the sand.
Well, let's take it to let's go ahead and imagine them in implementing this because, like I said, I don't think it's that far away from what they're doing right now. I mean, secret prison, secret torturing, all that, and then maybe not so secret anymore. George Bush admitting that he ordered torture. I mean, that's not a secret. He's just saying, "Hey, I did it. I committed a war crime, and nothing's been done to him." So let's envision that the U.S. government decides this is now a policy. Of course, we already know that over in the Middle East, they've already been kicking the doors and murdering families and shooting, you know, teenage boys from
bombing
the air,
weddings,
and you know, so we know these things. We know they've raped 14-year-old girls in front of their families and then murdered them all. We know those things have happened.
What about that boys' school that got shot up?
Where they shot it up? Yeah, that's right.
They killed 9 kids and 3 teachers. You know?
So we know that's already happening now. So they're going to institutionalize it. They're going to make it policy. And so let's say they move forward with that. Well, remember, the government has also been talking about domestic terrorists too. So I mean, maybe if it's good enough for the
Obama administration has made it legal for the government to assassinate American citizens that have
around
been called
around the world. That's right.
Right. No, inside. I think that they actually
in
stepped
the
up that they could do it inside the U.S.
I hadn't heard that part, but it's the next step, right?
Right.
So they've been demonizing these so-called domestic terrorists, and they've been lumping in, you know, libertarians in that particular category. I mean, you're threatening to the state. You're a domestic terrorist.
You got a bumper sticker in your car that says something about the Constitution. You're an extremist.
You've got silver
domestic
in your pocket.
Extremist.
You've got silver instead of a U.S. dollar in your pocket. You're a domestic extremist. You're using a loom or you're using a Bitcoin. You're a domestic extremist. Maybe those people should also be exterminated as well. Because the idea that people would listen to that and they would say to themselves, well, of course, the government's only going to go after the murderer, the terrorist. But no, they're going to go after whoever they deem to be a Muslim extremist. That can mean anything. That can mean whatever they want it to mean.
Look what they're doing to Assange. I mean, the government still has not been – the United States government still has not been able to tack any crime on this guy. But they – I mean, it's more than close to a $500,000 bail he's out on these trumped-up charges in Sweden, and you know the State Department's behind that.
Mm.
It doesn't take a genius to figure it out.
Yeah. So – I understand that people are going to listen to us and say, oh, you guys are overreacting. Our government would never do anything like that.
They're wrong. They don't read the news.
1-800-259-9231.
They're listening to Rush Limbaugh talking about Club Gitmo. Those guys have it great over there. Yeah. They're getting clean water. This is the best life they've ever had.
Why don't you go check in for a weekend then?
Get shot up with some chemical waterboarding
shots. What's chemical waterboarding?
I heard a story about that, and I have to go find the source, but I heard that they were giving them shots that was the equivalent of being waterboarded.
It's weird.
Created that experience.
I don't know.
All right, so we come back with more in a moment. Hour number 3 is on the way. You can take control of the airwaves at 800-259-9231. Got an email coming up here from somebody who is... Well, he's going to share his thoughts about liberty, and I think they're pretty interesting. So we'll do that here in a moment. Also, take your calls about anything coming up in Hour 3. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Spark imaginations and free minds with an enjoyable graphic novel or webcomic from BigHeadPress.com. This holiday season provides a great opportunity to share a vision of freedom and how we'll get there. Inspirational and beautifully illustrated publications from BigHeadPress.com are great tools for sharing the freedom message with thoughtful stories that are extremely entertaining and a pleasure to read. You'll be awed by the illustrations while you cheer for the heroes and boo the villains. Check out BigHeadPress.com and sample their work online before you buy. BigHeadPress.com.
This is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. You can dial in toll-free, take control of the airwaves, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We will share the features there with you completely free. Unlike those other talk show hosts who want to charge you for accessing their websites, we do it free. freetalklive.com. Coming up here tonight, this hour, at some point, you'll get a chance to win a 2-pack of the Totisac, and we'll explain what that is a little bit later on. We go first to the phones and the fun, and then to the email box. First, Scott is in Massachusetts. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Scott.
Yes, hello, Mark. How are you?
It's Ian.
Apparently, he's only talking to you, Mark.
Hello.
Hello, Scott the Bigot. What's on your mind tonight?
Yes. Don't forget also the anti-Semite.
What hatred? Well, I mean, you're bigoted. I mean, that kind of covers it all as far as I'm concerned.
But, you know, America, I'm hearing what you're saying, and America is, do you ever wonder why America has had all these droughts and poverty and wars and all of this?
Please say that it's God that's punishing us. Yeah.
God hates America, and you made that. That's A, and it follows logically.
Well,
B.
I don't know if you've noticed, but yeah. There are natural disasters that take place all around the world every day.
But things in the past decade or more have really spiraled out of control, and the American people should ask themselves, why? Why is this country being cut down? And the reason why it's being cut down is because God hates our homosexual and lesbian tolerance.
Oh, I wish you would call in Friday night. Will you call in Friday night about this? Because we actually have a gay man on the show, because we are not just tolerant towards gay people on Free Talk Live, but we also are allowing, because there's kind of a difference between the two. Tolerant kind of suggests that you disgustedly look at something and you won't do anything about it, but you'll tolerate it. But allowing is like, oh, it's your life. You're not hurting anybody. That's cool. You know, do whatever you want. So I feel like I am more allowing toward gays than I am tolerant, but certainly I'm tolerant as well.
So God's not loving, Scott?
What's that?
Scott, God is not loving, or he's not about unconditional love?
No. God okay. has laws like anything else.
Okay, so God is kind of like government then. Break the rules, get punished, we'll smite you.
That's right.
Wait a minute. You're saying God didn't make gay people?
God
did he just screw up there or what?
God wants a man and a woman to marry. God does not want a man and a man or a woman and a woman.
How do you know this? I mean, because you're not a big Christian guy. I mean, I know that from your previous calls. How do you know what God wants? I mean, if it wasn't written in the Bible, if you're not a big believer in the Bible, how do you know what God wants?
I do believe in a God, although sometimes I do have my doubts. I come from the school of seeing is believing. I desperately try to see God. I've never had any evidence of it. I guess I'm going by that God had a son named Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He died on the cross in Calvary. I want to desperately believe he existed. If he did exist, then he was the Son of God. If he did perform miracles, make the blind see, make the crippled walk, then he was the Son of God. If he is the Son of God, it makes common sense to me that there is a God. So my belief in God is based on the presence of Jesus Christ. Without the presence of Jesus Christ, I would not believe that there is a God.
But you have already admitted you have no real evidence that there was. You just believe that there was, right?
I want to believe that there is some sort of...
But you don't believe any...
That way he hates fags, right?
By saying that I believe in a God, yes, let's be fair. At least I'm not a hypocrite. It justifies my hatred of homosexuals.
Okay, and you said God wants men and women to get married. Is that a state-sanctioned marriage? Is that what God wants?
He wants men and women to get married to produce children.
You didn't answer the question.
Yeah.
You did not answer the question.
It's a state-sanctioned marriage.
So the God, so in your mind, God created the state, or the state is essentially an extension of God?
I think the state is an extension of God. It's not the kind of state.
You've got a real crappy God.
I hate this government that we have. It's a totalitarian government.
But it must be an extension of God.
Well, it's let me put it this way. It's the God that when America was
Did you even think this one out before you called in?
Yes,
Scott?
I did. God, this is not the God, this is not the America of George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams when America was a Christian country. This is a
deluded Christianity. American, I don't think America was a Christian country. It was a country founded on religious freedom.
Oh, it was always a Christian country.
No, it was founded by people who were
Benjamin
tired
Franklin
of being
wasn't a
persecuted
Christian.
By
Benjamin Franklin
governments.
Was a Quaker.
No, Benjamin Quaker. Franklin was not a Quaker. Benjamin Franklin was a deist.
Well, you can look at it. And I'm not going to argue with it. I know that George Washington.
I can tell you that Benjamin Franklin was
three Quakers.
Nothing like a Quaker. I'm a Quaker. Benjamin Franklin was not a Quaker.
George Washington was an Episcopalian. Well, John Adams was a Unitarian. They were Christians.
Well,
it doesn't matter. They were founding a government
Thomas Jefferson,
based on
James Madison.
They were
James Madison was an Episcopalian.
He was a deist. The fact is, you could call me a Methodist because that was the church that I was baptized in, but that wouldn't make me a Methodist today. People in their adulthood come to different beliefs on God than what they perhaps had in their childhood.
But I'm saying that America's being struck down, not by mere coincidence, because there's a greater plan, and that the American people have not followed God's law.
So what does God want for the gay community then?
He wants them to be normal, and he wants them.
They are normal, Scott. So, okay. Have you ever actually known any gay people?
I've seen them, yeah.
No, that's not the answer to the question. The question is, have you ever actually known any gay people?
I've known them, yeah.
No, you have not. How well have you known them?
I don't want to know them that well. Yeah.
See, you have these preconceived notions about what it means to be a gay person and how backwards it is and how...
I'd like to correct you on that. I don't like the word gay. They have absolutely nothing to be happy about.
Oh, sure they do. In fact, I would say gay people are some of the happiest folks I've ever met. Yeah.
I don't know there. I'm going to go.
Great costumes, too.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever been to a Pride Fest, Mark? Man, that is a happy, good time. So they know how to party.
I'm not, gentlemen, ready for this for this world. This you're making me laugh. This world is sick. It's all out of whack.
No,
it's turned upside down and inside out.
Scott, I'm hearing
a giant nut house.
Scott, I'm hearing you describe God as this vengeful, angry, hate-filled being who's going around judging people for the free will that he gave them. That doesn't just sound a little off to you?
No.
Well, he created the... I mean, if you believe that God, this Christian God, created the universe and created Earth and created all the things on it, then he created homosexuality.
And then if he hates homosexuals, then he could just strike them down or prevent them from existing in the first place, and that really shows that God is about unconditional love and loving people enough to let them make their own decisions, even if he doesn't approve for some reason, which I don't think God's about judgment to begin with.
You know what?
God also hates the Jews for betraying and murdering his son, Jesus, on the cross.
Scott, I don't even want to go into your hatred of Jews tonight. We did that last night. Let's stick with one hatred per night, okay?
Yeah.
So my question here is, do you believe that homosexuality is a choice?
I believe homosexuality, I'm going to be on, let me think that over. It's either a choice or they're born. I'd like to believe that it's a choice. That it's something that they...
Do you believe that animals that have engaged in homosexual, like non-human animals, that animals who have engaged in homosexual activities have also chosen that? Let me give you an example. My old cat, the old studio cat, Ravage, he went with Julia when she moved out, and so I only get to see him occasionally, but he's now a gay cat. But it's not because he wasn't gay before. He didn't have another male cat in the house with which to interact. Now he lives in a house where there's another male cat, and the two of those cats do some very, very gay-looking things with one another that he never did with the female cat that he would attack the female cat that he lived with at my house, and then at his new house with the male cat, they engage in some very loving and playful gay activities with one another. Is that a choice, Scott, or is that nature?
I think that's nature.
Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. So if it's nature with animals, why wouldn't it be nature with humans? We're just hairless apes, hairless monkeys who've got the ability to talk and reason. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves, but sometimes reason doesn't factor into who you're attracted to. More coming up. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live. Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want by dialing in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. You can bring up anything. And joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Sam.
And Mark.
Don't forget, you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. We give you the features there for free, including the bulletin board system. You can go and get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners over at bbs.freetalklive.com. And again, it's all totally free for you. bbs.freetalklive.com.
The Totosec. It's the one-trip wonder for hauling goods from your vehicle to your home. I use it to take groceries from the grocery store out to the car because I don't like to put the grocery cart into the corral. You could use it to take stuff from the house to the boat. It is made from 100% recycled materials right here in the United States and by a manufacturing place. I've taken a tour through Game Engineering, and it's located in Bensonville, Illinois. You can check out the Totosec at Totosac.us, TOTASAK.US. You'll just be amazed at how you lived your life without this convenient little device. It's the Totosec, and we'll be giving away a pair of them here on Free Talk Live.
In a few moments, as a matter of fact. But first to the phones, and the fun, Ty is in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Sam, and Mark. Hello, Ty.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. Hey, I just wanted to make a real quick point about the idea that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. That's false. The Treaty of Tripoli actually has these words in it.
And hold on, before you go on, before you make the quote, I think it's important for people to note that the treaties, as I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Ty, but treaties are the Constitution. When a treaty is ratified, that it becomes a part of the Constitution of the United States of America. Is that correct?
I have no idea. Okay. All I know is this
somebody
is an
will
official
tell me
government
wrong.
Record. It was ratified unanimously on the floor of the U.S. Senate in June 7th, 1797.
Okay.
And it states, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. And it's cut and dry.
Nice.
No argument there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, by the way, the Treaty of Tripoli was that put together in John Adams's tenure? So you're talking about the second president of the United States. So
the man who was sent to do it was sent by George Washington in his second term.
Yeah, I don't know that guy's name, but I have looked into this Treaty of Tripoli, relatively extensively, and. Yeah, you know, that this is what people always say. It's a Christian nation. But there's nothing to back that up. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing to back it up.
I'm a Christian myself, but the U.S. is not a Christian nation. It's not founded on any religion.
And what people don't understand is the United States was founded at the end of the Enlightenment period. And then in the mid-1800s, a sort of Christian revival swept the nation. So it feels like in the past Christianity was a big deal in people's lives, but honestly, they were less Christian in the United States. Generally, the population was less Christian in the late 18th century than they are today. People were looking at things and saying, you know, the deists were looking at things and saying, you know, God isn't actively participating in people's lives. Where are the angels? Where are the burning bushes? Where are all these things? The questions that people are asking themselves today.
So it's basically a story that the Christians tell themselves to.
Yeah, that was the only point I wanted to make. Yeah.
Thanks
for bringing that up, Ty. Very interesting. Basically the whole idea of a Christian nation is just a talking point for Christians to make them feel good,
to enforce their will on other people. Mm-hmm. The idea that Christ says he was out without sin to cast the first stone, the idea that Christianity, which was a rebellion religion against the Jewish, the Pharisees and the Romans. Well, now that they're in charge, many of these Christians want to enforce their will on other people. How can you have moral behavior when you don't have an option?
Yeah, then you're just being – it's not virtuous if you can't choose.
The woman who chooses not to be a prostitute today because it's illegal is not virtuous because she chooses not to be a prostitute.
Well, what's wrong with being
She's
a prostitute?
She's just scared. I'm just saying that if you're Christian and you look at this thing from the standpoint of virtue and you want people to choose virtue for virtue's sake, the person that chooses not to be a prostitute today because they might be arrested and thrown in jail for it is not virtuous.
So to the email box from Parker – or excuse me, not from Parker but from somebody else who's referencing another email. Alan writes in. So I just clocked out of my third shift job stocking shelves at Walmart, and I was on my way to the gas station to pick up a pack of smokes and some beer when something happened that rattled me. I'd been listening to the Free Talk Live podcast for the last few hours of my shift, and just as I was wiping the snow from my back windshield, you read Parker's email. Now, I want to tell you this. Now, Parker's email had something to do with how, you know, concerned he was with the state of liberty and that he, you know, come to these conclusions, etc. And that's not really that relevant to what Alan has to say. I want to tell you this, not because I expect you to read this on the air or even give it more than a passing glance in your home, but because I have a deep need to confess this to someone, anyone, who will be able to read it and understand, at least on some level, the sort of anguish and turmoil that I experience on a near daily basis. A small bit of backstory. I came to the ideas of liberty as many people do in my youth, say 16 or 17, and I'm now 31. I got there through Ayn Rand, but while my taste for her totalitarian philosophy eventually waned, the non-aggression principle stuck with me. The idea that...
It is a sticky principle.
The idea that it's, you know, not very nice to aggress against peaceful people, and that we shouldn't. I regarded myself as a pretty standard-issue libertarian. I talked to people whenever I could about whatever ideas they were interested in, but didn't give it much thought beyond being a sort of subtle quirk of personality. A couple of years ago, probably during the last years of the Bush presidency, that started to change for me. I became increasingly frightened, as opposed to just annoyed, at the things that my government was doing. He puts my in quotes. The realization that my emails could be read, my phone calls tapped, kind of struck a chord. It was as though I was witnessing the dawn of some new and terrible, monstrous era. But then, as I was moved to learn more about history and economics and foreign policy, I realized that what I was seeing was not a unique and aberrant fluke, but rather the natural and predictable consequence of the centralization of power. As I was in the process of becoming radicalized, it was as though I was groping in the dark through a dense fog. At the edge of the fog stood a curtain. Pulling that curtain back and seeing the state for what it was sort of an awful and traumatic epiphany. It was as though, and I have a very distinct image of this in my mind, as though I saw the state as a great snarling beast with sharp teeth and spittle-soaked jowls, and it was waiting to devour me. And yes, worst of all, my son, Jack. I must beg that you give or forgive the melodrama here. I don't say this as a crude attempt to seem literary or clever. It was a genuine moment of terror, like seeing the face of the man chasing you in your nightmares, and I really did experience it as a moment of revelation and of terror. And then you read the email from Parker. It sounded a lot like he has experienced the, forgive the term, vision that I did. And his reaction seemed to be analogous to the sort of dread and anxiety that I've experienced, which I continue to suffer from, which falls on me like a ton of bricks every few days or so. Like a sort of pain mixed with fear and desperation. With every new story, with every new encroachment of human liberty, I keep expecting the mass of people to say enough and rise up in defiance. And we'll come back. He's got more to say here in a moment, but I want to make sure we give you a two-pack of the Totesack at 603-435-1105. You want to get the groceries back in from the car really easily? I love the Totesack. I use it every time I go to the store. You'll get a two-pack of them if you call in right now. 603-435-1105. You dial in, and there's a good chance that you will win. Someone who calls will get the Totesack. Dial in now. 603-435-1105. More coming up with this email and your thoughts as well. You can bring up anything you want. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Carnation Breakfast Essentials, helping your family get off to a nutritious start every day. Mornings can be chaotic, but a little advance work will take the pressure off. The night before, organize backpacks and put them at the door, along with anything else that your kids need for the day. Set a timer for 5 minutes before departure to give everyone a chance to mobilize, and off you go. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there totally free. And those features include archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, click and download right there at the top of the page, last week's worth, and then you click in to the archive section to go all the way back as far as our late 2006. All free for you at freetalklive.com. Now then, Mark, if you want to get your hands on gold and silver, and it's a good idea to actually get it in your possession as opposed to leaving it in the hands of the banks, what do you do?
Well, you go to gold.freetalklive.com. At gold.freetalklive.com, I've put together some coins that I think are good choices to have gold and silver, not numismatic stuff. I found all that very confusing when I was first looking into gold. This is intended to make it simple for you. Go to gold.freetalklive.com. Check out the coins we have there. Comparison shop with the other companies out there that are selling gold and silver. You want a comparison shop. We believe we've got the best prices at gold.freetalklive.com. You need to believe it too. Gold.freetalklive.com.
All right, so we're continuing with an email here from Alan, and he thought I wasn't going to read it on the air, but I think it's pretty good.
It very
really,
good, yeah.
Yeah, really, it really paints a picture of somebody who has recently come to the ideas of liberty in a significant fashion. He talks about how he's been into the movement since he was 16 or 17, but really it was more of a subtle personality quirk, as he sort of describes it earlier, until more recently when it really started to dawn on him what was happening and what the state really is and what it all means and how out of control it is. So I want to continue here with his email. So he says, with every new story, with every new encroachment of human liberty, I keep expecting the mass of people to say enough and rise up in defiance. We are, after all, deeply entrenched in this mythos of America as the land of the free and ourselves as the free people. But with the rumble of each boot step that Leviathan takes, we instead cower meekly and beg for protection. We supplant reasoned thinking for jingoism and nationalism. We cheer on the foot soldiers of empire and demand the blood of the enemy, while we sit idly by and watch our masters rob us of our wealth, security, and our dignity. In my own experience, I've found that if one does not cower and kneel and worship at the feet of the uniformed goons of the state, police and soldiers mostly, then one is alternately ridiculed or dismissed as a sort of malcontent or as psychologically deviant.
You're America hater.
Confess a skepticism of any armed enforcer of the state, and suddenly you are the secret friend of every terrorist and heroin dealer on the earth. What's terrible in this context is not the fear of and contempt for the state. What's truly damaging to me, and I suspect many others, is the sense of having your warnings fall on deaf ears. Of being the lone truth teller in a world full of people who are choosing to believe lies, and who are lying even to themselves.
Well, and they're falling victim to the propaganda. That's what I haven't heard yet out of this email, is really the American people are being dumbed down with these hidden messages that are making their way into movies, into television, into the news. They're fed such a controlled diet of statism that I don't think, you know, that most people are aware that they're not even really thinking or considering things for themselves.
I think you might be right about that. Still, that doesn't ease the frustration.
Oh, absolutely not. There's more to it than just, you know, people are cowering down. A lot of them are really almost brainwashed, in a sense, to just
take the programming,
accept government, don't question anything, go on with your life.
Well, it is the government that runs the schools, so of course they have an interest in teaching people these things. And brainwashing, while it sounds like an extreme word, it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty close to the right term, actually.
So I understand his frustration. We'll come back and delve in a little further here, but I want to finish him up. To be treated as an Auslander or pariah as you stand at the edge of the precipice and warn your brothers and sisters not to charge like lemmings over the edge to their own death, only to be ridiculed and marginalized, is an awful thing. No, they say, we must charge onward, ever into the darkness and to oblivion. And you want to save them because you're bound to them, but you can't. And they fall into the darkness and their rope is tied to you and your rope is tied to your children. And then you all fall down and down and down into the jaws of the great beast. And then at the last moment when the jaws of the beast are chewing and your friends are impaled on its teeth, you hope that in the last moment they will see finally that you are right. But instead, as the lifeblood drains out of them, they call out, I've never been so alive! And you realize that you were a fool to try and salvage the lives of those in bondage who never wanted to be free. You had wanted freedom to live, and they had simply wanted the freedom to die for Leviathan. You had wanted the liberation of the truth, and they had only wanted the freedom to believe in silly, comfortable lies. You had wanted freedom to choose, and they had wanted the freedom to serve and kill and die. Parker's email got into some of this, though perhaps not in the way I have here, and I suspect that he didn't intend to share the things that I've shared. For him, it seemed like a sort of mild but very real discomfort. For me, it's a sort of psychological terror that creeps into my waking nightmares. For those of you who have joined the Free State Project and moved in order to become active for liberty, may the God that I don't believe in bless you for your efforts. I hope to join you someday, but until I can get there, I can only watch in horror as those around me dismiss out of hand or dismiss me out of hand as a blame America firster or a friend of the drug dealers who are poisoning our children. I would never presume for a second that I was entitled to have my email read on the air, but please, if it isn't too much trouble, send this along to Parker, which I don't even remember Parker, so I don't know if I can. So hopefully Parker's listening. You may send my email address. Oh, yeah, good God, yeah, it's bad, but we're here in the shadows waiting for it all to go down in flames. We don't want it. We don't eagerly anticipate it. But when it does, we're ready to rebuild. If New Hampshire can get there first, and it seems like it will, then good. We all need to get there in time, but the time isn't right for everyone. Maybe someday soon. But we can't avoid the future forever, and the Free State Project gives us all here on the outside hope that we aren't alone. Please, Parker, feel whatever pain that you need to feel because of the dread and the loneliness and the fear and the pain, but don't feel like you're alone. You aren't. We are here. From Alan.
I really like what he had to say. The one critique that I would say is, or that I have for him, is really in line with the propaganda and the way that people are sort of controlled and force-fed this diet. I mean, it's not that they want these things, that they want to have their lives controlled and dominated by the state. It's that they've been fooled into whitewashing the fence by Huck Finn. You know, they're like, this is good for you, and they have actually bought into the propaganda at some level.
I agree with you. To an extent.
I can't remember what Roman emperor it was, but he went into a grove, and he was going to be executed by, you know, whatever his political upstarts were that were against him. And his slave stepped in and somehow or another took the poison for the emperor, and the emperor was able to steal off and become a monk at a monastery or something like that. I know I've got the story wrong, but I have the gist of it. You could at least stick a couple of stories together, and you've got my story.
Where you'd expect the slaves to not do that. It's...
Right. You would think that this slave, this person that has been owned and beaten, I mean, this was the proper way to take care of slaves, was to beat them in order to get them to think right. And all the way up to the 18th century, 19th century here in the United States, that was just the policy. You beat them. And this guy, who probably wore many beatings by his master, stepped up and took the poison for this guy. Died. It's just, you know.
Stockholm Syndrome?
It's crazy.
So I think that, you know, you're partially right, Sam, that, people certainly have been brainwashed. They have been trained to be this way. But on the other hand, I wouldn't just say that every human being wants to be free. Maybe they don't. Maybe some like the feeling of security. And maybe it has been bred in by indoctrination and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it is something that just has come over generations of people being indoctrinated and or slaves or whatever, and that they like the idea of having someone tell them what to do. I think those people exist.
But do you think that if you could show people, here's society today, with all the controls and the atrocities that are being perpetrated by governments around the world, and you show them, here's what a free society could look like, where, you know, war is almost non-existent because it's so unprofitable, because it destroys so much. And you show them, here's how the free market could evolve and create all of these products and services and things, and give them a picture of, here's what society could be like, or if you could take them to the future and show this to them, do you really think they would, I want to be controlled and enslaved?
If you could take them to the future and like they could be absolutely sure that it would be that way, then I could see that be persuasive. Otherwise, they're just going to come up with excuses that are based in fear.
Fear and ignorance.
Right. So more coming up here with your thoughts. Welcome on this topic or anything you want. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever you want. I certainly share Alan's, a lot of his concerns. I certainly shared them more strenuously in the past when I wasn't in New Hampshire. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
This is is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Moments remain. Enough time maybe for your thoughts, your call, if you make it now. And don't forget, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. If you enjoy the program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that. Just head on over to promote.freetalklive.com and get a whole list of things that you can do to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations around the country, bring more internet listeners on board, and expose new people to the ideas of freedom. Go to promote.freetalklive.com to do that. It's all, almost all of it is free, unless like you're talking about printing out flyers. It's just minor cost involved there. But go to promote.freetalklive.com, get some ideas. All right, to the phones and the fun. Let's talk to Joel in Alabama, listening to WBHP. Joel, you're on Free Talk Live, listening in Huntsville. Hello there.
Hello. Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind tonight, Joel?
I was just driving home, spent a little time with my family, and caught a little bit over the radio. And just curious, would you guys consider yourselves to be evolutionists, or is that what you hold to as far as a worldview is evolution? Would that be correct?
I think that evolution is a nice idea, and I think that we're all evolving personally in our own lives as well. So I intend to evolve myself. So I would agree, Sam.
Yeah, I think absolutely evolutionist. The Free Keene website that we are bloggers at, several of us and the people that have moved here to Keene, the moniker for that is peaceful evolution, and it's really about realizing that aggressing against our neighbors is not the optimal solution in order to provide services. I mean, you just cannot provide services at the barrel of a gun or under the threat of force.
I don't think evolution really can be anything but peaceful personally. Yeah. I think that violence
actually
regresses.
I think the gentleman's talking about evolution versus creationism.
Well, I don't know. What were you talking about, Joel?
Well, no, you're answering my question, I would wonder then how would you just summarize then what evolution would be? How would you summarize that?
Well, I mean, are you talking about personal evolution, or are you talking about evolution of a species? Because I think it's a little different.
I guess more particularly of a species. I mean, would you hold evolution as a, you know, a viable theory as far as how?
No, I think it's just a theory. I mean, I think it's a theory that's backed up by some evidence out there. Okay. I don't know if it's a
most of the evidence, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know if it's entirely complete.
And I don't think that it's exclusive of there being a God. I think that God could have decided that
to create evolution,
right? To create life as it exists on this planet, this tiny little planet in the midst of a gigantic universe, in the midst of a multiverse. I think that you could still have evolution and still have a God.
Yeah, they're not exclusive.
I don't think that faith and the and science are necessarily exclusive in that area, but I would say, I guess the shortest answer for evolution is the survival of the fittest.
Okay, and I guess that's really what I was going to really just try to understand, because I also had caught enough the conversation about homosexuality, and evolution in itself would teach that if you have survival of the fittest, natural selection, that where two men, let's say like Elton John and his partner, have a child, but that child really is only available through a surrogate mother, that evolution itself would stand against, homosexuality if the natural selection and the survival of the fittest, by being able to reproduce something that's better or maybe more advanced.
Yeah, but maybe you're not looking at the whole picture. I mean, maybe there are really specific things that gay people are particularly useful for, like hairstyling, or costume design, or something like that.
They propagate the species in different ways.
That essentially, that no matter how many generations there are, there continue to be the existence of homosexuality
but
as a natural state.
The contrary point to that would be that those that propagate and breed would be the good humans, right? So if the gay people who aren't propagating and breeding properly are the bad humans, and I guess you throw in priests and what do they call them? Dinks, dual income, no kids, mm-hmm. White people that are professionals, you got to toss them in that group. But in fact, the beer swilling, trailer park living, wife beating, those folks, those are the good humans because they're breeding at a higher rate, right?
No. I was just curious how you would reconcile evolution and homosexuality, since homosexuality.
I don't reconcile it at all. I went and got a vasectomy. I don't feel like it's time for me to slit my throat.
I think there's more to evolution than just the survival of the fittest and the
propagation,
you know,
species.
Passing on genes. Yeah, exactly. I think there's a sort of conscious aspect or a spiritual aspect to it. And evolution is also about coming to greater understandings about us, about who we are, what we're capable of.
That's that personal evolution.
Yeah. And I think that plays a really key role as well.
And having the contrast out there to allow you to make choices and to look at yourself and to analyze yourself and how you feel and whether it's appropriate or not is important. And so having, you know, things that are different is useful to that purpose.
Right.
Okay. I was just going to see how you guys would reconcile that. I really didn't know if you were evolutionist or not. Just listening, I just caught a little bit. But
yeah, I don't know if I'm an evolutionist either. I mean, I'm not entirely familiar with the scientific.
I've seen fossils.
I'm not a scientist. I haven't studied extensively Charles Darwin and his theory or anything like that. I haven't done, you know, dug deeply into that. I just find it a plausible idea. I think it's backed up by some evidence, the scientific theory of it. And I firmly believe in the evolution of a human being, just in that individual chunk of time, the 100 years that we have here. Hopefully, we'll have longer by the time we get there. But I've seen myself evolve, and I've seen myself change and become more. More allowing toward others and rejecting toward violence and move along this path that I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, you know, and that's I consider that to be my personal evolution.
And I think there's in the fossil record, there are also these massive leaps that species and diversity has taken over time. So while, yes, survival of the fittest and passing on genes and so forth is an important part of evolution and certainly plays a role, I think there's something else out there that sort of skips over that and makes these giant leaps that science has not yet explained.
Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that was good enough, man.
Thanks, Joel. I appreciate the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, I don't I think it was you, Mark, that said this, but I don't try to reconcile what exists with what I think the theory of evolution should be or what it's supposed to mean or something like that.
Right. I've got some problems with the whole idea that we were entirely, risen up from single-celled organisms. The thing is, when I look at sort of the scientists and what do they think by looking at the world, and then I look at preachers and what are they supposing, and the stories that the scientists are telling to me are better stories. You know, that the idea that we can show a lineage of different skulls that they found in different places. I think that's something that shouldn't be just discounted. I have a difficult time imagining exactly how one missing link leads to another missing link. I don't know that stuff. I'm just, I kind of believe what I'm told.
There's a very interesting experiment where they took some salamander eggs, shot a laser through it, and then into some frog eggs. When the frogs hatched, they had features of the salamander. So there's no cross-pollination of DNA going on there, but what that's suggesting is that maybe energy is carrying the DNA. And so that may be where some of these evolutionary leaps are taking place.
Science hasn't
explained yet.
And if you believe the Bible is sort of a literal document, you really have to believe in hyper-evolution. Because the world as we know it has only existed for 4,000 years.
According
to the Bible. Noah's flood was 4,000 years ago, and he had 2,000 years of Earth before that or whatever. So you would have to believe in some kind of evolution at that point.
Let's bring Dennis on here, also listening to WBHP in Huntsville. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing?
It's on your mind.
Yeah,
I'm
at the homosexual stuff right there. Now, starting off with, I'm an Indian, all right, and when it comes to persecution, I'm Mohawk, that's my people. Believe me, I know all about it.
Sure.
Being treated sometimes like I'm subhuman or inferior like most of the rest of us do. But I'm an open-minded person myself, and I lived in Florida for 20 years, and one or more of you guys said you lived in Florida.
Yep.
And so when it comes to knowing gays down there, I knew plenty of them, and they were great, great friends to me, very, very good friends. And we Indians, a lot of us will believe in past lives, and I'm one that I kind of believe in reincarnation, too, on that we just keep coming back till we get it right, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. It's kind of fun. It's a fun idea.
You got about 20 seconds. Go for it.
Okay, hold on. I have this curious, what if sometimes our spirit comes back in the wrong body for what we were meant for? What do you think about that?
Very possible.
I don't know.
Something to think about further, but we don't have time for it right now. Thanks, Dennis, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. It has been Ian here.
And Sam, I am.
And Mark.
We'll return tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime. And if you're listening in Indy, you can call tonight and hear yourself in the morning after 7. See ya. The following edition of the Edgington Post interview series is brought to you by the Free Talk Live Amp program. Become a Free Talk Live amplifier today for as little as $3 a month. Get perks and help us get on more radio stations and more internet connections at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. And here's Mark.
All right, another edition of the Edgington Post, and I have with me comedian Aaron David Ward. Aaron, is that what you want me to call you?
Yeah, you can use any name you want, as long as, I guess, they're FCC acceptable these days, right?
Well, you know, honestly, this is recorded for the podcast, so we could actually say anything we want. Generally, I don't use those terms, but hey, you know, it's whatever we want to do here.
Cool. Yeah, I know it sounds pretentious, right? Three names, but it's one comic, you know? Everybody who ever became famous apparently had three names, and so I decided, yeah, let's stick with three of them.
You know, it makes you stick out of my mind. I think that comic with three names, I don't always remember what they all are, but you know, I remember libertarian comic three names. That's what I've got on my mind.
There you go. That's all you need to know, really.
So usually when you call in, I mean, you've got a couple of dates, but it's not like, and we'll discuss those at the end, maybe. If you've got anything coming up that people might be able to catch you at. But, you know, usually we just talk about things that are going on in the news. And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind here, I've got I saw earlier today a video of a TV reporter who I guess she was covering a police officer who's in his own personal vehicle or an unmarked vehicle or something like that. And they were, her and a cameraman were following him. And I guess he called in to the police department that there's a suspicious vehicle tailing him. And they pulled her over, and it took apparently nine cruisers. I don't know how many police officers were in the cruisers to pull this lady over, 115-pound news reporter, and guns drawn, you know, tasers out, guns drawn, the whole deal on a couple of, you know, folks with a camera. And, you know, funny thing, it turns out that there wasn't a single bit of footage from the cruiser's dash cams. Every one of the nine cruisers had a malfunction in their dash cam. Can you believe it?
It's amazing, Mark. You know, being a sort of a scientifically minded comic, you know, I've looked into this, and apparently the more cruisers that you have on the scene, the more electromagnetic interference you get, apparently. So, you know, add a couple of more cameras in there, nobody would have had power in the entire area, including the cameraman who was there filming it for the news crew.
It's like an EMP. It's like an EMP.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everything goes out.
Exactly. Apparently, the camera is the new weapon of mass destruction in 21st century America, you know?
Certainly, the cops act like it. And, you know, you really got to wonder what, you know, they always say, if you've got nothing to worry about, then why can't I check your pockets or whatever it is? And one really has to wonder, if they've got nothing to worry about, why do they care about cameras so much?
Well, that's just it, you know, and apparently I don't know what they're worried about, because I've been told, and I've looked into this, that if you actually point a camera at a police officer, apparently it's sort of like a vampire. It never shows up on film.
I hear it steals their soul.
I've heard that too. They go into some sort of fifth dimension vortex, apparently. So it doesn't surprise me. They've been more and more overzealous. But this is what happens when you get guys coming home from combat that were part of National Guard brigades who were serving overseas in combat missions. Now they're brought home to go back to their regular job as police officers, and that adjustment is like suddenly you're not in a war zone now.
Yeah, it can be very, very tough on these guys, and I feel terrible for the vets that come home. They have this PTSD and that kind of thing, but you know, so many of them, you know, they recruit from guys that are over there currently. They recruit from current soldiers. Then they have the, like you say, the National Guard guys, and a lot of them are National Guard, and you end up with is essentially a war on America's civil liberties.
That's exactly what's happening, and it's getting worse and worse every day. I mean, between the surveillance state that's been set up and, of course, the TSA problem at the airports. But, you know, I figured it out. When you go to the airport now and you get checked, what happens, I know what the TSA agents are looking for. I figured it out. It's the worst threat the United States has ever known. They're checking Mark for bed bugs.
You know, bed bugs are sweeping across the nation. I mean,
exactly.
It's a very real problem.
It is the worst threat known to the United States in 21st century America. It is the worst. They're checking for bed bugs. So if you don't want to get pulled out of line and full body scanned and patted down in places that, you know, only your significant other should be patting you down in, if you don't want that to happen, here's my suggestion. Spray yourself down with Cutter. And then go through the line. Not one molestation, not one hand will touch you.
You know, the TSA agents have been complaining about, for one, getting called pervert and things like that. But another thing they're complaining about is having to touch obese people and people with hygiene issues. And you know what? I can totally sympathize with them. I mean, what an awful experience that's got to be. You know, the fat guy that hasn't taken a shower in 2 weeks, that's got to be a rough job.
That's right. When I fly, I stuff my pants with ring-dings, ho-hos, and Twinkies. They don't know what they're touching.
You know, I was hoping. I just flew back from Florida a couple of days ago, and I was hoping that they'd give me a good grope, and nothing. Nothing. I didn't have to go through the zapper scanner thing. They just put me through a regular old metal detector. Nobody touched my junk. Nothing.
I'm telling you, it's really disappointing. You know, if you're really going to battle the surveillance state, the best thing to do, apparently, is to embrace it in all its absurdity and make it as absurd as you possibly can so that the people who are actually doing this, who don't realize that they've been suckered into violating other people's personal liberties, maybe they'll finally realize how ridiculous all of this truly is.
You know, if every time a TSA agent patted a guy down, he grabbed him in the crotch, he just said, "Impressive." Then, you know, half of the nation wouldn't have anything to complain about, you know?
You know what I think would end this promptly is every time a TSA agent went to check your junk, that you just, and presumably it would be a guy touching a guy, you just looked down and said to him, "Sir, you're a powerful and handsome man." maybe then it might stop. I don't know.
I like the idea. I love the idea, Aaron. So the United States government has been rocked to its core by WikiLeaks, leaking some of their documents, telling how their diplomats are calling other diplomats dum-dums or whatever it is they're doing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, finally somebody's doing the job of the Fourth Estate. I mean, I used to be a print and broadcast journalist until I realized I got out of the game because of the crappy pay and the crappy hours. But I also got out for another reason that didn't dawn on me until after I was out, was that I really was nothing more than a flack for all these government agencies. Nobody was doing any investigative journalism. You know, finally it takes a website like WikiLeaks to actually do the job that the Fourth Estate's supposed to be doing. And actually, when you start reading that stuff, you're like, wow, I really do feel like I'm in the Matrix, you know? And I really do feel like I took the pill that finally opened my eyes. Like, this really is pulling the curtain back to realize that, you know what, the wizard is just a tiny little guy with a big microphone and not much more than that. So to me, it's like, finally, it's like one of those TV specials where they show you how the magic trick is done. It's wonderful.
Now, poor Julian apparently couldn't keep it in his pants and managed to sully the whole reputation of WikiLeaks by getting it on with two chicks in Sweden in 1 week. And, you know, it's hard for the average guy, average married guy, to blame Julian Assange, who's single. But, man, what a disaster.
Well, I'll tell you, God, if that's the worst thing that he could do, and of course they've trumped up all these charges, you know, that because, in fact, one of the women is on record as saying that she took a photograph of him as a trophy. So,
right.
I mean, how bad could the encounter have been?
Well, apparently the one gal didn't feel like she had been raped until after he found out that he had sex with the other gal. So she's not really raped. She's scorned. It's a woman scorned issue.
Exactly. And if you're online these days, scorn, apparently you can traffic in very easily.
Yep. Speaking of which, it looks like they're trying to pass a law that says that you can't bully people on. You can't say mean things to people online.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the final straw that will break the camel's back, because now everybody is already going to have to police themselves. I don't like this, I don't like that, but I got to couch it in nice terms. Nobody will be able to say anything to anybody anymore. Apparently, we're all going to be reduced to communicating in a series of grunts. I think, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, they will outlaw language, at least the written word anyway. That's what will ultimately happen. They will outlaw all written words, and eventually we'll be communicating in pictures. And then we'll realize how advanced the Chinese really are.
You better not show a picture of a fat lady to some woman, though. That would be some kind of, that'd be insulting.
That would be insulting, but I'm thinking that pictures might do well at TSA checkpoints at the airport. Just show up with a picture of a guy with his pants down around his ankles and point to the picture and go, you do. I'm fairly certain that if you show up doing that and you're wearing a foil hat, they will let you breeze right through.
It better not be a koofy cap, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble. Or one with the whirligigs on. In fact, that might work too. Just walk through the line with whirligigs on saying, I'm here for the mothership. Can you point me to where the mothership is?
What you need is a sombrero and a kilt.
Ah, there you go.
Nobody's going to check into the kilt.
Exactly. And if you're wearing a sombrero, you're like, hey, they're not even sure you're legal or illegal at that point. And since we do everything we can to accommodate the illegals, hey, you know, you breeze right on the plane.
There's nothing. Even the Mexicans don't wear sombreros anymore. So there's really nothing to say to a guy in a sombrero.
Exactly.
Nice hat,
exactly.
Pal. Just go on
exactly.
Through.
Exactly. Like, what are you, early for a, the 5th of May celebration? apparently just wandered in from the Cinco de Mayo celebration down at the airport pub.
So, where are you appearing these days, Aaron David Ward?
Well, I'll tell you, this has been my most successful year in stand-up. I've really had a great 2010, and 2011 is shaping up quite nice. I've been on a independently produced tour throughout the Northeast. So mm-hmm. We've hit places like all throughout upstate New York, also Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut. In 2011, we're headed back over to Vermont and other parts of upstate, also Connecticut, New Jersey as well. We're going to be doing a theater. If you want to find out where I'll be, you can go right to my website, which is aarondavidward.com. It's aarondavidward.com. And that'll give you my whole schedule for 2011 thus far. And I'll be adding dates, in the coming months as well.
So can people get updates through, like, Facebook or something like that? I mean,
I'm on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/aarondavidward. I'm also on Twitter as well. I usually post, on my website, aarondavidward.com, I do a blog every day of basically my take on current events, and then I also will tweet some of those as well. And so they can stay in touch. I'm on all the social networks, so check me out there, both Facebook and Twitter.
Very good.
MySpace, unfortunately, has become like a ghetto. I don't know what happened to MySpace. It's like if you want a
ghost town.
Apparently an indie rock T-shirt or an encounter with a transsexual prostitute, apparently MySpace is your place. But
maybe I better reactivate my account.
You better get on that right away.
No doubt. Well, I enjoyed your show at Pork Fest. It was the year before last. I can't remember when it was, but you were at Pork Fest, and it was a great show. And
thank you.
If you're coming, if you're coming through somebody's town, I recommend they get a chance to check it out. It's very entertaining.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. It's always fun talking with you and talking about the ridiculousness of statism circa 2010, almost 2011 here these days. I asked Santa for an underground bunker, and he didn't bring it yet, so maybe he's been stopped at the airport as well.
Right. Santa's going to shake down for the TSA is shaking down his sleigh. It takes a long time to go through all those bags.
Oh, my God, I'm telling you. And the reindeer, they're getting their junk touched, too. So, I mean, that takes forever. They got to bring in a veterinarian, make sure it's all kosher, you know?
Indeed. I hear Rudolph likes that stuff, though.
Really? Jeez, who knew? Well, he's got a red nose. That might have given it away. What a perv.
So it's AaronDavidWard.com and Facebook.com/AaronDavidWard.
Yes, that is it. That's how you can get a hold of me.
Thanks for the interview, sir.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
How does a cruise to Bermuda sound? How about a cruise to Bermuda with Stefan Molyneux, Wes Bertrand of Complete Liberty, and me? This cruise isn't just a convention on the water. It's an unconference where the event is what you make of it. The boat has an ice skating rink, rock climbing wall, miniature golf, and much more. The ship leaves Bayonne, New Jersey in November 2011. But you need to reserve your berth now. They're as low as $535, double occupancy. Go to cruise.freetalklive.com. Do it today. cruise.freetalklive.com.